I haven't eaten there in a while because the last time I ate there, I was disappointed. And that was like months ago.
What's Cato's Kitchen?
Cato's Cajun. It's Cajun. It's like right next to the Chinese place. It's the same chicken, but they call it Cajun instead of Chinese.
No, it's different. It's a different recipe because the other one is the teriyaki. Also, the McDonald's is gone in the food court.
Really?
Yeah. The Arby's is a Euros place now. The McDonald's is gone, which I've never heard of a McDonald's closing in a food court.
Yeah.
Once this is over.
And the grilled cheese place was unstaffed and the lights were off, but I don't know if maybe aren't open on Sundays.
Well, I wonder if ever since that shooting, the mall's just going downhill.
That could be. The shooting's probably got some people scared.
And we're live.
Hello!
I don't think that business has closed down that fast. That's
no, probably not. But
no.
Sarcasm, a little bit.
What are we adjusting?
Also,
my face is fine.
If McDonald's is closed anytime they're in a place where people got shot, there would be no McDonald's.
There would be no McDonald's ever. Yeah, that's pretty true.
Hey,
McDonald's right across the street from your house.
Yeah. Hey, okay. I live in a safe neighborhood. Look how many police cars there are always around.
There are a lot of police cars.
A lot of police cars in everywhere. My neighborhood, which means it's the safest neighborhood.
To be fair, our neighborhood has had a lot of police cars lately. Now we're a super safe neighborhood.
Super safe.
You heard about that, right?
No.
There were three shootings in Madison, like on the same day.
Yeah.
There was one at the mall. There was one like somewhere on the east side. I forget where exactly. And there was one on my effing street.
Yeah.
Like literally Chelsea Street. It was like a block down the street. It was like you could throw a stone from where the shooting happened and hit Brian's house.
Nice.
Yeah.
And there's a house for sale there for now. Like, I didn't know exactly which house it happened in, but suddenly a house is for sale there? I suspect.
Does the realtor ad mention good ventilation?
It doesn't, but it should probably.
Why? I don't get that joke.
Bullet holes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think that was a very funny joke. Just not because it was in poor taste, just it was just bad.
You did, yeah, it just wasn't funny.
It just wasn't funny.
Okay.
Are you glad I'm
back? I'll make a note.
I sat down and started pulling my iPad. And
are we going to actually introduce this episode at some point?
Andy tried.
I have been trying. Yeah. Welcome to episode 109 of the Crippled System Podcast. My name is Andy, and I'm your host for this wonderful tour
of death. Don't lie.
I'm not your... What?
The wonderful part. You're the host. That's fine.
I'm just your host for your tour of death.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's yes. no death.
And what factor do you play, Andy?
Yeah, those weren't fatal shootings. Just some people got shot.
Wasn't one of them fatal?
No, the
no, I didn't shoot at anybody.
Oh, I almost said something terrible.
I didn't shoot at anybody, so we're fine.
Yeah. You weren't involved?
No, I didn't shoot anybody.
Nothing. Personally.
No,
an hour and a half.
Okay.
I may have shot at people.
But you didn't actually shoot
someone.
But
I didn't shoot anybody.
He's got to go practice.
Yeah.
He's got to go set up bottles and pumpkins and shoot at them now.
Let me make sure I write down to the GPS exactly where you live.
Like all those Western games where it's like practice mode and it's like pumpkins and beer bottles and it's like people and they're easier to hit.
I wonder if that would actually fly in court if you tried to say that you were part of a militia and you were practicing.
I think not.
I really don't think it would. That's right up there with saying that their flag has fringe on it, therefore it's a naval court and they don't hold sway over you. Good old
Jeremy,
sovereign citizens.
Valiant 418 on the forums. I recently play Rhett.
My name is Katie Bad Horse on the forums, and I play board games.
Jeremy should legally change his last name from Shay to Valiant 418 on the forums. That would be great. That would be a commitment.
We met people at Adepticon that are from Katie's hometown. We met them because I spilled beer on one of them. Not a beer I was drinking, mind you.
Classy.
Their beer, because I was paying zero attention to where I was going. I wasn't even drunk yet. This was the first night when we got there. I spilled beer on someone else. But anyway, I spilled beer on the guy, and I was like, oh man, I'm sorry. And the guy got a little like... You just spilled beer on me.
Confrontational.
Which is fair, because
he
I just spilled...
Confrontational.
He wasn't confrontational. He was just like...
In disbelief that
yeah, he was
would
like,
do
you
that.
Just spilled beer on me, and you're just like, oh, sorry, and you're walking on? Like, that's really what you're doing right now? Yeah. And I was like, I'm really sorry? And so then I was like, I'm kind of committed now. Hi, I'm Jeremy, Valiant 418 on the forum, because like that's just how I say it at cons now. And he was like, oh my god, we listen to Crippled System. And then he was like, oh my god, we're from Katie's hometown. And I was like, all right, this is just bizarre. And then he was like completely not upset about the beer anymore. Like, I went over to play an Iron Arena game later that evening, and he came over with his buddy, and they were like, oh man, it was so cool to meet you. And I was like, literally the way you
did that to me.
You were gone. You went to bed that night.
Oh.
Literally the way I met you was I spilled beer on you, and now it's like the best thing that's happened to you the whole con.
You didn't tell him the best part of the story. I didn't recognize him, and he didn't really recognize me, and we were on the same cross-country team.
Like, literally at the same time.
Katie, you were cross-country?
Yeah, she was cross-country.
Oh, yeah. Did you run cross
country?
Ask Kitty why she was
dwarfs are excellent over long distances.
Ask Kitty why she ran
short distances.
Short distances.
That was the joke.
But you were. Yeah, I see how you try to modify it to work for me. Thanks.
So Katie, why did you run cross country?
Get out of gym class.
She literally ran cross fucking country, so she wanted to go to gym class.
It's not so bad.
It's a lot of running.
It's like a 20-minute run.
Depending how quickly or how much you carry, it can be a lot of jogging.
It's a lot of jogging for Katie.
And you get to travel. You get to go across the state. You get to go hang out with friends.
You don't have to go to gym class.
You get to go to Baraboo and steal the little candy machines that sit outside the restaurants. We stole one of those and brought on the bus. We got yelled at so much
you
for
think?
That.
You think? Oh my gosh.
It was a lot of fun.
Speaking of beer spilling, Sam won one of the overnight events, the Blood, Sweat, and Tears event.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears, yeah.
And his first two games, he should not have won.
Oh my gosh, he was telling me about them.
One of the games, the only reason he won was because his opponent spilled a beer all over the table and then clocked himself cleaning up the spill. Like, Sam was dead to rights.
Was that the one where his opponent was up 4 control points to 0?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that they made him clean up the beer.
On his clock?
On his clock.
Well, they might not have made him, but it was like 3 a.m, so they probably didn't ask anybody.
I heard that they made him. He tried not to, and they're like, no, you have to clean that up.
Because like the event I won, my first round I was losing to Zombie Dude, and then he left for 15 minutes, because it turned out that he just started puking violently.
Oh, that's no fun.
So all of a sudden he just get up and left, and then he came back, and then he lost on clock, and he's like, I decided to be a gentleman and leave the table to go puke.
Just like, fair.
Sure,
thanks for that.
Yeah. That was just being nice.
Thanks for not puking on me, and thanks for losing this game.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, that was one of the things, I forget, I think it was Muse that was talking about it. They were like, so really what you can do if you just want to really get in your opponent's head is just right at the beginning of the game, just be like, put it on your clock, just be like, I'm going to go take a shit. And then like come back 15 minutes later. And I was like, how is that a strategy? That's just, I didn't have time to poop between rounds.
If you have like a caster that's like insane on the caster kill, maybe that's something you could do. Because like Lilith 2, if you have Lilith 2, you could go take a shit. Because either
the game is over by round 3, one way or the other.
One way or the other.
You won't need your clock.
Yeah. No.
That same round that Zombie Dude went to go to take care of business, another game that round... Malachi, the young local player, he was playing against some guy and was doing quite well, like tabling him. Like all of his, the guy was failing every tough check and every command check. It was very, very dicey, but Malachi was also playing well, not selling short. But the point is, it was extremely one-sided game. Yeah. So they're playing, and Malachi's like doing a little jig, and all of a sudden he just taps it over and runs out of the hall because he has to go pee. So he pulls a knack. He just taps over and runs out of the hall. And so the guy's sitting there, you know, and it's an old, like, it's like a 38-year-old guy playing against a 12-year-old kid, you know? Yeah. And so he's sitting there for a while, and he says to Travis, he's like, you know, I'm kind of torn because he's a kid, so I kind of feel like I should, like, pause the clock or something. But on the other hand, he's destroying me.
Yeah, I can see where he'd be torn. Did Malachi wind up winning that game?
Oh, yeah, he had plenty of time. He came back and he won the game.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the last time I've had to, like, I don't know that I've ever had to do that, although I play Legion and Rhett, so, like, my games just never, ever go to time. Like, I always have a break.
I had to do that once, but during time turns. I used up an entire one of my turns. Yeah, yeah.
That sucks.
Whatever I had for lunch, it was the game after lunch, and I needed some time.
Yeah, that's never good.
I don't know that I've ever had this particular problem that you guys are discussing.
No?
No.
I don't think that I
Katie, have you ever, like, eaten some food, maybe some barbecue or something, and then it was a race with a devil to get to a bathroom?
Oh, no. I've had that problem.
That was the problem I had, and it was the game after I got back from the lunch break. And it was at a Misty Mountain tournament. It was against Jason Gargathor, and I was just like, yeah, I have to go pee for
click.
My butt. Yeah, it was time turns. I'm like, finish your turn, Jason. Finish your turn. Beep, beep. Bye. Just left for 10 minutes.
It's my turn ends, it's on you.
So that was a bad Papa Bear's experience?
It was not. I think I got Domino's or something. I don't even know what I did.
Or that Chinese place. That Chinese place has been known to ruin several of a tournament.
Oh, that's our... give away our tech. Come on.
Like, recommend that. Like, hey, this is a really good Chinese place. Yeah. You guys should check it out while you're in town.
Strong out-of-towners always get the recommendation to try the Chinese food.
It was good like 10 years ago.
Didn't you convince the whole Muse crew to hit the Chinese
one
time?
Oh, yeah. No, no. I felt bad because like my favorite member of Muse was so sick. That was Chad.
Chad was more like... I feel
Chad
like
is everyone's
frequent.
Favorite Iowan.
Well, yeah. Well, that's 100% true. That's obvious. But my point is, I feel like Chad has intestinal problems. somewhat frequently at tournaments.
Yeah.
Like, I remember at Adepticon last year, he qualified for Masters but couldn't play because he was sick. Throwing up everywhere.
I think maybe it could be stress-induced, maybe. He just worries himself into... He seems like somebody who would just worry about things maybe too much.
Also, side note to somebody in our chat room asking, Brian is not here today because he just got back from being... Was he in Vegas or something?
Well, he was in Utah. Went to Vegas.
He was in Utah and went to Vegas, yes.
Yeah.
He was in Utah for work and then went to Vegas and went to some state park where he took a picture of the rocks.
It should be noted that he texted me at some point during that and was like, I'm bored.
Yeah, that's true. That did happen. Katie's response was, hi, I'm Katie.
Nice dad
joke.
She's
a good friend.
Thanks. I really like that one.
Yeah, he's a good friend.
But yeah, so he's either in flight or just showing up in town here, so he's not going to be on this one.
I'm pretty sure he's back because he had something on Facebook about 10 minutes ago that was like, I just got back into Madison.
Yeah.
That's good. You know, that's a hint that he's back in Madison.
That's a good sign.
Way to crack that case, Katie.
You really cracked
the
code.
You guys kept saying he might not be back
yet. Well, I hadn't noticed the post on Facebook, so. Damn it, Katie.
Well, it's just.
All right, just for that, I'm going to make you talk about your thing while you're trying to play Soda.
Oh, yeah. Talk about your thing.
So I asked Nathan if he wanted to help co-host with me, and he had no idea what I was talking about. And it was a really funny conversation. I had a good time.
No, talk about the thing that was about.
Tell them the thing for that to be a funny... Okay, so...
The thing that I didn't know about, they also might not know about.
I know, right. That's why it's funny on top of funny.
That remember earlier true. When you said that wasn't funny?
Yeah.
Neither is this.
But you weren't.
I need food in my mouth to put up with this ridiculousness.
Give me that last one.
Yeah, there you go. We all need this right now.
Katie, do you know of anybody who's hosting any new cooking type show things on the YouTubes or the Bloggernets?
Yes. So I decided
the
to
Bloggernet?
Start.
Well, it's called a vlog. So
a couple of things. One, the reason I'm able to come here tonight is because even my boss was like, you might be getting burned out. Maybe you should stop working so much. So I've been trying to not work so much. But in addition to that, I started a cooking vlog to meet two goals. One is so that there was something exciting to come home and cook to. And because the other thing is, I've tried all sorts of things to stay motivated on diets and eating healthy in general. And, events, I'm getting married, so I need to lose weight, or we're going on vacation, or, any sort of thing
it's
like that.
It's summertime.
Or it's summertime. And at the end of the day, what happens is that event comes and goes, and then after that event stops. Even if I was doing really, really well on my diet, I just stop. Because that event came and went, and that's what I was working for, and so there's that. But if I have, a video that's, fun to do, and I can have people like Nathan and Andy come join me occasionally, and...
I just come and eat.
You notice I don't get invited to co-host this?
You're always there.
She has no choice.
That's true.
And a couple of other people have expressed interest in also coming and joining. Then it's something that's fun and to look forward to, as opposed to, a daily chore of, I can't eat out, I have to cook. And so now it's I have to go do my thing, and it's going to be super exciting, and so that's my plan.
Yeah.
Plus, it was really fun because the day that I started, Brian had posted on Facebook that if he hears about one more diet...
Anyone who talks about dieting, he's eating a donut for each one. So Katie asked him if we could cook him donuts.
Yeah. Well, he asked me if I'd cook him donuts.
Oh, is that what it was?
Because I tagged him on it. But anyway...
You're not going to go like the giant gluten-free thing.
No, it's healthy.
Just healthy food.
Healthy adjacent.
Like, it's just... Because the idea,
It's less terrible.
Like, in my mind, you should be able to maintain a healthy body weight by just eating foods that aren't terrible for you. Not necessarily foods that are, gluten-free and vegetable-based. Mm-hmm. And make sure you use coconut oil instead of olive oil, because coconut oil is better. And, that's a lot of work. And it's very expensive to do, whole out. And it's just not...
Also, a significant percentage of that stuff is complete bullshit.
Also right. That.
Unless you're one of the one in some number that is not a double-digit number, hundreds or thousands of people that have a legit disease, gluten doesn't do shit to you.
Yeah.
It's not
carbs in general are a thing your body stores easily.
Yeah.
But it's not it makes you sick, and it's not it ruins your intestinal tract.
Gluten isn't some magic demon. There's people that have a disease. It's same with lactose intolerant. If you're lactose intolerant, lactose fucks you up. If you're not, it's just another
and there's
thing.
People that fall on the spectrum. Jordan is not truly lactose intolerant. He's just really unbearable to be around when he eats cheese or ice cream because he gets stinky ass farts.
His body can't process
his body, he can drink milk fine. It's cheese or ice cream. You kind
of
get the...
Well, he's probably just mildly, so it takes a lot of...
Yeah, it's mildly, so...
Yeah.
But anyway, because the idea is Because then the other thing again with giving up carbs is then as soon as you eat carbs again, you gain all the weight back. Mm. Like, it just comes right on back. And so, like...
Also, carbs are great.
Also, they're delicious.
They are delicious. God,
I made pumpkin bread yesterday and just eating fistfuls of it because it was still hot out of the oven. I just put, like, a stick of butter in the middle of the loaf and just... ate it.
Yeah.
So we might not be doing the stick of butter in the middle of the loaf, but we could probably make the loaf and it would be just fine.
A little butter's fine.
A little butter is fine. Like, the whole point is, like, you can be healthy without, like, spending wads of cash or spending lots of time or going to some extreme and just, like, neglecting a food type altogether. It's my theory. And so I hope over the next, like, year I can prove that theory to be true.
I hope so, too. And it's called Katie's Kitchen. It's linked from, like, Crippled Systems YouTube. It's linked from, we've posted a Facebook link. We posted it on Twitter. We can't get, like, one of those fun little channel names where it's just, like, YouTube/channel/Katie's Kitchen. Because the new policy on YouTube, which I think is retarded, by the way. I don't mind saying that.
Yep.
You have to have 500 subscribers to get one of those, like, clean titles. Yep. So, like, the actual URL is, like, ZBXYLMN3743XJ!! But we've linked it.
I hope that was actually the address and you had it memorized.
If that was, I am a savant.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we've linked it everywhere. I'll put it in the show notes as well, or Andy will.
You're at least one half of
that. Yeah, I was going to say, that's not the word I would have kept from the famous phrase.
You're so pretty, though.
That's true.
But it's on our YouTube channel, so you can follow it there. Eventually, it will be on the Crippled System homepage. So,
and I'll put that in the show notes, obviously.
So anyway, on top of that, if you guys have anything that you want to see or to do, or you like have a specific recipe,
have us cook something.
Yeah, we'll cook it and then eat it, and you can't have any.
You should be jealous and watch through the TV.
That just reminded me that now that Adepticon's over, we have to start actually doing pooper potato.
Andy and I were talking about pooper potato earlier.
Fuck.
Yep.
We got so many lists.
I don't want to hear about it. You want to know what lists were submitted for me in total?
Several of those lists bowed out and said, wait.
Wait, I like his better.
Yeah, there were like four people that had the P-Willis list. You know why
they said they like his better? Do you know why?
Why?
And they even admitted this. Because that list is all infantry and like three lights. There's not even a heavy Legion Beast in that effing list.
Yeah, you can take out Colossus with that.
They're excited to watch me play fucking Legion Infantry. Enough that it's P. Lilith.
She's got Parasite and Pincushion. Are the lights like
bolt
throwers and shit?
No, she's got just Parasite. Oh, she doesn't have Pincushion.
Oh, that's it. She got still Parasite. What are the lights? Are they like bolt throwers
and
stuff?
It's like a rake and like, it was
are
like
they
a rake and a tariff.
Yeah.
Are those good?
Tariff is interesting, but he's a little expensive for 5 points. But,
I think
but
Tariff
he's...
might be in there for his animus on Lilith herself, which is solid.
Is
Bushwhack?
Counterblast?
Bushwhack.
Yeah.
Command range. No, she has Bushwhack all the time. It's command range counterblast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so on her, it's decent because she's like,
somebody moves up.
She
can trigger.
It's a good animist on Lilith 3 also because her auto fire procs anytime she shoots, so she gets to counterblast 3 guns.
Yeah, which is cool.
Could also get Swift Hunter off of that?
Yes. No, Swift Hunter is activation only.
It is only? Okay.
I'm almost positive.
I'm assuming it is.
I'm 90%
based on how the game is usually designed, I'm assuming it's activation
Beatback's
only.
Not. And Beatback, if you get a Beatback free strike on someone who's charging, it's actually really bizarre.
Pretty sure Beatback is, because I know that you can't Beatback off of a counter charge with Axis, because I did it once and then it turned out it was cheating.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
so
the same thing with the bronze.
Maybe it's like Crit Slam or something. I know there's a way that you can theoretically make someone's charge lane get all fucked up if you have certain, like, if you free strike someone and then you, like, Crit Slam them or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they finish their charge lane and then they move however many inches
to the side. It used to be that because, the rule's not used to not even have a rule for what happened if you were immune to knockdown and got slammed out of your charge lane mid-slam.
Yeah.
I remember because, like, 4 years ago, I asked, every Privateer Press staff member at the Gen Con at the press party. Gang party, and DC's like, I'm not on the clock, don't bug me with this shit. But so they ended up changing it. So if you are shifted off your charge lane, you stop moving immediately and fail your charge.
Oh, it's like right when it happens. It's not at
yeah,
the end.
Like you'd be slammed, you'd shift over 2 inches and go fuck, and then you stop.
Oh. It makes sense. Instead of trying to figure out that vector as well.
The question originally was when you continue your movement, would you continue on the parallel line or would you readjust your vector to your charge? And since they didn't have an answer, they just said you do neither. Shut up.
Yeah. By the way, Katie, Johnny says hi. Travis's son. It's a chat thing.
Brian's on. Yeah, Travis's spawn says hi.
Yeah, he asked me if I was having fun, and I told him yes.
And that you're playing Soda Crush?
Well, you guys were talking about War Machine.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Our bad.
Well, the Lilith list, there's I don't know. There's some other lists. There's some interesting Scorn lists in there.
There were a lot of cool lists. And, like, the only problem is, like, there's a lot of cool lists out there for both Rhett and Legion. And literally the only Pooper Potato list submitted were Peelilith. There's not any other Legion caster. There's no Rhett ones.
We should... Well, the other thing, though, too, is you don't have to be the person to play those two.
But
we want you to.
Yeah, well, everyone does,
like
obviously.
Lewis has got Legion. He could probably play
Lewis too. Lewis could totally. I'm perfectly happy to play the list. I just wish we'd also seen other, give me a Gareth. Like, I played Gareth for my article series. Like, yeah. I don't mind trying goofy Rhett lists.
I don't think there was a Merc list on there.
Beatback isn't... Not only is Beatback... Okay, let's say this. Beatback is not during activation. Okay. It is during combat action. It's even more restricted.
Worse. Jeez. Okay. Good to know. So.
So you don't get beatback during its an ancillary shot.
Yeah, well. or even within your activation, if it's not your combat action, like before you move, flashing like if you had blade. Flashing blades, yeah, you couldn't cast flashing blades before you moved and beat back up and then move.
Side note, by the way, about people that like do weird swimmy things like that. I didn't realize what a pussy Bart was. That guy can't kill shit in melee.
He can if it's the sixth or seventh thing he gets.
Sure, except how does he ever make that happen with no multiple attacks? And like he doesn't have like a thresher attack.
No, he has focus.
Sure, but only six of it.
Yep.
So
the seventh guy you get to gets really fucking hurt.
But not a caster. Like, I had him try to get into my caster, and he just did nothing.
He doesn't have... If the caster was the sixth person and he had the one last focus to boost to hit...
Maybe.
No, he doesn't...
Yeah.
Yeah, Blood Quench is not really... It's cool, but it's...
It's cool, and
if it's against low defense infantry, so he hits every single one without boosting, it's equivalent to camping the armor.
Yes.
So there's no reason not to do it.
There's no reason not to do it, yes.
In fact, it's better because things like Arcane Assassin don't get around it. Mm-hmm. So if he can just mow through a unit, if it's low defense, there's no reason for him not to do it.
Yeah, but it's got to be low because he's like Mat 6.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Defense 13 or what? I mean, on even average 13 dice, is a little the 13, dicey. He will miss half 12. Of them. Yeah, so 12, like 12, he'll probably hit most of them. And then
overtake through them. And
yeah.
But yeah, I was just shocked. I always
he's
just
not
assumed.
The butcher. He's not the butcher.
He's not the butcher, but like a lot of Merc casters do get work done in melee when they get there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm just thinking most of the Merc casters, like probably not Ashlyn. I'm not sure. Is Ashlyn a murder machine in melee?
She's a Mat 8 weapon master.
Or not Ashlyn, Fiona. Fiona.
Fiona is not, no.
Yeah. Like Fiona.
She has, does she have grievous wounds? She has something.
She has grievous wounds.
Is it grievous? Yeah. So she's got that going for her. Bart did have something cool in, sorry, Katie. Are you still just texting with Brian?
She is.
No, okay. I wouldn't do that.
In Mark 1, Bart had a really cool ability called Rouse, which was if he... It was kind of like the thing that Butcher and Abby 2 have.
Oh, Conferred Rage.
It's kind of like that. It was if he charged something... I don't think he even had to kill it. I think he just had to charge like an enemy model and get to it. He maybe had to kill whatever. Then all of his jacks got to charge for free. And got, cool. You know, they might have gotten a speed buff or something. But it was really cool and fluffy, but he lost that, so...
Yeah, a lot of those Kesara. Weird fluffy rules from Mark 1, kind of, they were like,
it's... Well, it's good focus management, too. I mean, was, free charge on all his jacks.
Yeah, a lot of those things went away, but it was really more so to clean up rules and abilities. Yeah,
makes sense. Anyway, that's a lot of War Machine. So
that's Katie's Kitchen.
Yes.
You should get like make it like Katie's Country Kitchen or something and have them all with a K so that it'll be really awkward for people to initialize.
There you go.
You can start making T-shirts.
I ate at the KKK.
Who wouldn't want to eat there? That's...
Right?
The KKK is delicious.
Delicious. I like the meatloaf with the butter.
I want to make fried chicken and watermelon jokes.
Wow, Katie. Wow.
And we are live.
Aren't you glad Katie came back?
No, I'm excited.
Here's a story from Adepticon. So... Somebody, I was like working at the table or whatever, and somebody was talking to me, and they mentioned that I was the horrible person on the podcast. And I'm like, no, bullshit. Katie's the horrible person on the podcast. That's true. Not me. So that person, you know, went, blah, 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 and they went away. And then they came back like 2 hours later, and they were like, I just, you're right. I just, some person that had went off and interacted with you briefly and came back was like, yeah, you're right. She's totally the worst person.
Worst person ever.
What? I am so nice.
You just made a fried chicken and watermelon joke.
You guys made the KKK joke. I just took it to the next level. This next level.
That makes you the worst.
No, that makes me an overachiever.
Can't argue.
Oh my god. So her her show is no longer linked on our Crippled System.
Right?
No, here's the best part. Is
Katie's Corner has been canceled.
People who are on my Facebook page, I would not direct to this show. And so Katie's Kitchen is a lot cleaner.
It is a lot cleaner. Although the very first episode was not terribly, like, you kept making innuendos the whole time and then like chuckling slightly to yourself and moving on. And like from episode two on, she like cleaned it up a little bit.
To be fair,
she realized that both of our mothers watched the first episode.
To be fair, if somebody gets the innuendo, that's on them.
Right. That just means they have a dirty mind.
Yeah.
Well, no, because I would be like, you just kind of finger it a little bit to know, and then I would giggle a lot.
That is the sort of thing she did the first episode, like quite a bit.
That sounds amazing.
They were like accidental innuendos, but then the giggling gives it away.
Yeah.
That I'm just a crazy person.
I had to fight down the urge to do a That's What She Said over the radio at work a few days ago because it was the most insanely over the top setup because this person was oblivious. They were working in the coffee center and they needed to take a poster and affix it to some rigid board so that it would work as a stand up sign. Sure. So it's a two person job, and I told them when they'd finished printing and they needed me to help them with that to call me. And so she comes over the radio and she says, "Nathan, I'm ready for mounting." And I'm just like, "Oh, sweet Jesus." And like everybody on the sales floor, we all look at each other. I was like, "What?" Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Good times.
Yeah. And then I didn't get up there right away, so she said again, "Nathan, I need you. I'm ready for mounting." And it's like, oh my God.
I took the TurboTax back, by the way, and yeah. I don't know that they believed my story that it just didn't work.
Yeah, they totally thought she was trying to return a tax product she'd already used. Like, you could see it on all their faces that they did not believe her, even in the slightest.
Now, to be fair, I waited a month before I finally made it back
to
the store.
Yeah, to be fair, it's basically April at this point.
Good job, you.
And I did just do my own taxes.
But not with that. We paid for our own copy.
We only paid for our
own
copy.
So not suspicious at all.
No.
Not suspicious at all.
Yeah.
Well, plus she didn't bother to make any note about how it didn't work. She was like, "It didn't work on my computer." And they were like, "Well, what happened?" She's like, "I don't know. It just didn't work."
It didn't. Like that I was put her it response. In my computer.
It wasn't like it was the wrong version. It wasn't like I have Windows whatever and it said it needed Windows whatever. She was like, "I don't know. It just didn't work."
Well,
and the guy like looks at her.
For what it's worth, open software technically is not legally returnable.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was very nice of them.
Yeah, like, I'm not surprised they made the exception, but they should have told you, sucks to be you.
Well, the guy at the front was, like, gonna say that, and he was like, "Oh, I'll just call a manager." And the manager came up, and the guy's, like, looking at Katie, and Katie's just smiling, and he's looking at Katie, and she's smiling. He's like, "All right, whatever."
Well, the thing is, like, because I told him, I said, I asked the lady when I bought it if it didn't work, if I could return it, and she said, "Sure," and it didn't work. So I'm returning it.
Well, to be fair, she lied to you.
That's what she said to me.
That's what she said.
That is what she said. Because I asked her specifically.
Excuse me. Sorry. But yeah. I feel like we had something else we were going to talk about. No,
we did. We were talking about
Adepticon.
What was Adepticon in general?
We played a new wine game, which is really, really fun.
It was really fun.
A lot of people were making very suboptimal moves, though, I felt. Not me.
Katie, we played three games of it. Katie won
What's
the first
it
two. Viticulture.
Yes.
Katie won the first two and then opted not to play the third one and then basically just sat on Brian's shoulder like a little parrot and told Brian how to win the third one and then Brian lost.
I didn't tell him how to win. I was reviewing.
Brian would be like, "Here are my cards, Katie," and Katie would be like, "I think you should play that one." But I play this. That's my turn.
No, but then he lost. So way to fail.
Yeah, I know. It was not quite like that. There were.
It was kind of like that.
Well, I tried to help Stu out originally, and that just wasn't
going anywhere.
Going anywhere.
Stu has a very unique board game approach, which is let the chips fall where they may. Plans are for losers.
I think he had a plan. I'm not sure what it was.
So he's got almost the Andy approach to board games.
He has
games.
A very Andy approach to board games.
Because, yeah.
Like, he has
chaos,
fun. He has
chaos
fun.
Chaos reigns.
Yeah. But, like, you're making wine. Like, it's not really a chaos sort of thing.
No. Yeah, well, it's actually,
I don't know.
It's kind of a cool game. Like, there are different seasons, and the different seasons are, like, the different parts of a round. And so you have to have your summer actions all worked out so that you're ready for winter. And by the time you have winter, you're ready for summer again. And so you have to kind of plan out ahead. Not quite like Agricola.
No,
not Agricola.
Not nearly Agricola.
Not Agricola. The one that you like that's not Lords of Waterdeep.
Oh,
Kalis?
Kalis.
It's not quite like Kalis where it's as dry as that.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of planning ahead.
Yeah, you kind of need to have some kind of plan as to where you're going.
I goddamn love Kalis.
It's a good game.
Are there... I'm trying to think of other worker placement games, and Kalis has been around forever, so you'd think there'd be some more. So either I'm not remembering, or maybe I haven't played them, or maybe this wine game is it. Are there other worker placement games where the workers don't activate when you place? Oh, Mayan Calendar's like that.
Mayan Calendar's
like that. But
and to be fair, they do activate when you place them in this game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I didn't know because I didn't play this one. But because Kalos and then the Mayan calendar, you'd think there'd be more games where the workers don't execute when you place them.
It's fairly rare. I think a lot of people assume, a lot of game makers assume that that mechanic is going to be hard, like innately harder for people.
Yeah, but that's part of the challenge of the game.
But like, game makers are trying, they want a challenging game, but they want a game that you're going to want to play immediately. And like if it's one of those things where like you need to play it four times to understand the mechanic, like they may just make less sales.
Seems like the action though you would want to resolve right away so you don't forget about it later on.
Maybe well, less. I mean, but then it matters kinda... with because with the Kalos, like if you need to build a house, like you can't just build a house right away. Like sure. You have to make sure that you have other players.
Right. Brian's pointing out dominant species is also like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's just going to all resolve at turn end.
Yeah, it all resolves at turn end.
Do you read that? That's so tiny.
Yeah. Well, mostly because he's talking about stabbing me and that I'm a son of a bitch, and my spidey sense really pulls that in.
Yeah.
And I'm also thinking, texting
there
me,
are
the
games
way.
Like...
I'll send him a picture.
What's the Sons of Anarchy? Because Sons of Anarchy...
Which I haven't played yet.
That doesn't trigger right when you place them, but despite the fact that you could call them workers, that's almost like an auction game, because it's not you go there and it triggers, it's everybody throws shit on the board, and then whoever has the most... It wins, resolves at the end, okay. So it's kind of like an auction, but with people instead of money.
I hate to do this because I know it's going to be disastrous for me, but I have to go to the bathroom.
Are you tapping the clock over?
I'm tapping the clock over.
Katie, you can talk more about Vinovici Vajovajo.
I thought it was a really good, worker placement game. I think that, I don't know, that's all I have to say about it, is you have to interact with other people and plan. I don't know how to explain it in more depth.
All right.
Okay, I'm glad.
I got something we can vamp on slightly. Any of you guys watch TV recently?
No.
Some.
Okay. I think it's a Hyundai commercial.
The Flash.
It's a Hyundai commercial that they have out where it's about a mom and her daughter, and it's basically talking about how daughter is growing up with that car itself. For some odd reason, there's a line at the end of the commercial that it sounds like, and this is where she'll become a woman. And I was just sitting there thinking, in the back of my mind, in the back seat.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Like the back seat of a Volkswagen?
Yes.
There's a commercial. I posted on my Facebook.
Front seat's actually easier.
I laugh for...
here and there.
Not if you have a stick shift. That gets in the way.
Does it?
Yeah.
Or helps, depending on what you're doing. But I posted this on Facebook because I laughed for like 15 minutes after this commercial the first time I heard it. There's some medicine commercial, which I'm still shocked are legal, by the way. Any prescription medicine, I don't need to have commercials for because my doctor should know what to prescribe me. I hate the fact that those are legal in America. But whatever. Side note, you rolled an 8. This during the fast talk, which is always the best part of these because it's like, you know, this cures ingrown toenails. And the side effects include bursting into flames, herpes, death, your parents dying in front of your eyes. Like, the side effects are always terrible.
Yeah.
But this one, I forget what the medicine's called. I'll call it Flim Flamadam. During the fast talk at the end, they're like, do not take Flim Flamadan if you are allergic to Flim Flamadan. It's like, I remember. No shit! Like, why would they need to put that in the fast talking?
Apparently they do.
Like, why wouldn't every product on the planet have that in the fast talk at the end? Do not drive a Volkswagen if you're allergic to Volkswagens. Like, everything should say that.
Or not say that. Because it's common sense.
Exactly!
It is common sense.
Why did this one particular medicine need to remind you, if this will kill you... Don't do it.
Don't do it. It's bad. Yo.
Do not eat hot dogs if you're allergic to hot dogs.
I could see them saying like some other medicines that is like almost very, very, very similar to that. Yeah, but not this.
Do not take Flim Flamadan if you're allergic to aspirin. Oh, okay. I did not realize that aspirin was a part of it now. No, but literally itself. Do not take it if you're allergic to it.
There was a medicine commercial that plays on Hulu a lot that's like... it's for the asthma one where they keep recommending a different medicine.
Oh, yeah. They're like, by the way, you should totally just get an inhaler. Like, totally. But if you don't want to get an inhaler, totally take our medicine. It's awesome. It does all these amazing things. But really.
You might have suicidal thoughts.
You should really just get an inhaler. Like, that's really what you should just do. Inhaled corticosteroid is what they call it. You should just take an inhaled corticosteroid. But you could take this, too.
And then it's like, and then when you're done with this, get an inhaler. Well, yeah.
It's the worst commercial. Like, they spent the whole commercial convincing you to take a different medicine.
Maybe it was, like, totally viral marketing for the other medicine.
Maybe it was. Maybe. It's possible.
Anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, so we played a bunch of Viticulture, which was fun.
I didn't know what else to say about it, and it really kind of dropped off. It's a cool game.
We experienced Werewolf. Katie, I don't think you had. I know I haven't ever played Werewolf.
But you didn't play normal Werewolf. Played the new version, which probably, from what I've heard, fixes everything that's terrible about Werewolf.
Which may be true, because
there
isn't
really that much that's terrible about Werewolf.
There are two things that's terrible about Werewolf.
Oh.
It takes goddamn forever.
Yeah.
Okay, there's three things that's wrong with Werewolf. It takes goddamn forever. There's player elimination, including before the game even begins. The first thing that happens in a game of Werewolf is one of you is kicked out of the game.
Yeah, that's true. True.
And it's fucking chaos. There's no information whatsoever, so it's just random drunken pointing of fingers. It's not like Resistance where the missions and the cards actually inject facts into the game.
True.
It's just chaos.
Yeah.
One would say, though,
you might still like it in spite of that?
I still like the chaos part of there. Player elimination, unfortunately, with those type of games, that usually happens. I mean, that's... But
One Night's Extreme Super Duper Werewolf, or whatever it's called, was really fun. It has a problem almost the other way for your third issue. Like, there's a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the players... If you don't have someone who's particularly good at lying at the table, then it's really easy to piece together from the information and just be like, well, he's a werewolf and he's a werewolf. Like,
so the one problem I found with it is, like, some people were just idiots anyway.
Some people were just – like, literally, like, okay, so does the Tanner exist in normal werewolf?
The guy who wants to die?
The guy who wants to die.
No.
Okay, so there's a Tanner, and you only get to kill one person, and there's three groups that win. Werewolves win if you kill someone who's not a werewolf. Villagers win if you kill a werewolf. Tanner wins if you kill the Tanner.
Right.
So all the Tanner wants to do is convince you to kill him. So Colin was the Tanner. Somebody freely admitted that during the night phase, they swapped Colin's card with Chad's card. And then Chad was the character where he got to look at his card at the end of the phase. And so he knew he was the Tanner. So both Colin and Chad had perfect information that Chad was now the Tanner. And the person that swapped them freely admitted to the group that he swapped Colin and Chad. So everyone at the table... I thought, knew that Chad was the Tanner. The other thing is, if you bury a certain number of cards in the middle that nobody is, if both werewolves are buried, then in order for the villagers to win, they have to kill no one. So you have to have a tie vote. So the easiest way to do that is everybody votes to their left. So we were like, obviously, like we mathed it out. Obviously, both werewolves are buried. Everybody knows this. It's just a given fact. Everyone at the table is fully aware of that fact. Everyone vote left. Let's just win and get it over with. So we're all voting left, and you do like 1, 2, 3 point. Colin fucking voted for Chad.
Who then voted for himself.
Well, no.
Oh, was Chad not to his left?
Chad voted to his left.
Oh, I assumed Chad was to Colin's left.
I don't think you can vote for yourself.
Oh, okay.
I think that is actually a rule. So Colin literally screwed the villagers either way, but especially because he knew that was the fucking Tanner. Like, he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was voting for Chad to win. It's like when stuff like that happened.
Did he have a reason?
No. Colin was like, he was the Tanner? And it was like, Colin!
But why didn't he vote to his left?
I don't know.
I mean, he didn't even give an explanation for that?
Because Colin. I don't know. I really don't know.
There was another guy there who, for an inexplicable reason, also voted to his right.
There was one other guy that I think just didn't know what his left was and voted right.
So we would have lost either way. Because the person who was the werewolf... There was somebody who was a werewolf.
So they weren't both buried?
No, they were both buried. No one was a werewolf that game.
No one was a werewolf, but that's because somebody who knew
Who was a werewolf knew that it had been buried because someone shared the information that they buried their card on them.
Yeah,
because
there was a drunk who just randomly switches someone's card with the middle card.
Oh, okay. So the guy was like, I was a werewolf and it got buried?
The drunk swaps themselves. And so what happened was the robber swapped himself in a werewolf, like swapped the werewolf card into the drunk, and then the drunk buried their card and got a non-werewolf, and it was like, oh, well. No,
well, the drunk doesn't know what he is.
Oh, that's right. He didn't get to look, but we mapped it out.
Is it possible that Colin scooped to Chad?
It did seem like there was scooping involved. Yes.
Scooping.
Two scoops.
But it seems like that, at least in the werewolf that I've played before, there doesn't seem to be that many classes. Like, not all the villagers need to have a job. They just need to be
more and more classes. Even in classic werewolf, they got more and more jobs.
In Extreme Night, we were playing, what, 8 players? We were playing 8 players, and 3 of us didn't have a job. Yeah. And that's counting 3 cards are buried. So it's possible there's 0 people that don't have a job.
And in the ultimate werewolf that people play now, like the ones that Clifton Klein usually runs and everything, it's like that. There's like 3 villagers, and then you have the you have the 2 lovers, you have the huntsman, you have the Inquisition guy,
the kid that sees the werewolf,
musician,
that knows
Masons. The seer. Did I say the seer? I don't know. But there's
the seer.
There's all these special roles. Like, I've literally played that game with like 15 people, and three werewolves and 12 things that, like, the villager team, not a single one of them had a card that just said villager.
That's why nighttime takes forever, like, because you got to have the guy who's hosting, like, to go over every goddamn thing.
Yep. And I will say, having played it, it's a game where you should have a person that's calling the game. Chad called the first few rounds, and then somebody left, and Chad jumped in. And the game moves so much slower because he can't look. And so he has to be like, well, I'm going to let this character go, and, like, we're going to just hope they're there and doing something, and I'm just going to talk for a minute. And I'm going to be quiet for a while also in case I'm that character.
Right.
Okay, that character's done. So you can do that for every character.
Flip side, just play Shadowhunters.
Or Resistance. Like, my problem, and I told Katie this, I was like, it was fun, but I if I want that style of game, I would just rather play Resistance every time.
Yeah.
And I'm not always in the mood for that sort of game, but when I am, Resistance was just...
The thing Shadowhunters gives you is the special roles thing. The people that do like that, like the...
Right, and I actually like in Resistance that you don't have all these goofy special roles.
Exactly. Correct. That's the whole point of Resistance.
Yeah, it's the game without special goofy roles. So, and the other thing about, and I think part of, and it's funny that both Katie and I really like Resistance because we have two very different styles in those games. Katie, like, tries to figure things out, but she's just like, because of she's incapable of lying, she's just brutally honest.
Watching Katie get so angry at Black.
She was so mad.
Was the funniest goddamn thing.
And she figures it out. She's really good, but she can never convince anyone of anything.
She had the team perfect. Yep. She just walks up to the game after the first. She watches the first match. She goes, "Those three are the spies," and she was right. And we fucking won.
No, the time that Keith,
high five.
No one ever listens
myself
to me
and the captain. Oh no, no! It was Keith, myself, and Jeremy.
Yeah, it was you, me, and
we're
Keith.
All spies. Oh my and, god! Oh, that was nobody listened glorious. To Katie. And you were so angry. Oh, we've told this story so many times.
I know. Well, the problem, I can't convince anybody of anything that I say during those games.
I don't know if you know this, but when Keith and me and, like, Nathan, like, there are people that are just really good at convincing people of things that play that game. Not everyone is, but there are some of us.
Brian hates Shadowhunters because, one, the first time he played it was when we went to another friend of mine who's not in our social group, but he has a Friday board gaming thing. And I took Brian as my plus one to that one time. And we played Shadowhunters, and we played it twice. And both games, Brian was the character who has, like, next to no hit points, but her goal is to not die. Oof. She's a neutral, and she only has, like, 8 hit points. And both games, he got that character, and both games, like, everybody just dogpiled on him for no reason, and I think between the two games he got like one turn. Oh. So he does not like that game anymore.
Is that the game that's got the, like, that kind of spiral down the center there?
Yeah, and
then
the six locations. And
okay,
the,
yep,
yeah.
Yep. I've liked that game. It was a little neat.
Yeah. Shadowhunters is less like Werewolf and Resistance, and it's more like Bang. I think it's the board game version of Bang.
Never played it. Bang.
Bang's good. I'll tell you what, I got tired of it because they played it at lunch every day, the guys at my work. But there's a dice version of Bang, mm-hmm. which is also really surprisingly fun. And it's like almost entirely luck-based. Like, there's don't obviously shoot at someone you can tell is on your team logic. But other than that, it's just like, roll dice, hope you get things that are good. Yeah. Okay, I got things, they happen. But it's a fun little game. I played it too much. But it's surprising that both Bang and Dice Bang are fun. Like, when they were like, we're going to play Dice Bang, I was like, really?
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather play King of Tokyo if you're going to play a dice game?
Yes, I do like King of Tokyo better. And actually, they've started playing Citadels, which I also enjoy more. Mm-hmm. Like, Citadels actually has a little bit of strategy. Like, there's a lot of luck in Citadels, but there's a little strategy to it.
I stayed with Keith, I think, when we went to... You were there, Nathan, weren't you?
I don't know.
But I played Citadels, and I just got stomped.
The problem with
Citadels
is you should switch out the thief and the...
Just play the second group entirely.
Yeah, well,
just play
I don't even care about the whole group, but you should play 1 and 2 from the alternate set. The witch is so much better than the assassin.
The entire alternate set is less extreme versions of the first set. And so it's a less brutal game. And you're right. Mm-hmm. The two that the less extreme are the biggest deal are the thief and the assassin.
Yeah.
Well, the assassin doesn't get it. Like, it's...
The assassin doesn't get you anywhere. It just ruins someone else's turn.
Yeah.
Yep,
and the thief does. And the thief, when it's great, is great. And a lot of times you get almost nothing. And then every once in a while you're just like, oh, I'm going to randomly just destroy you.
Yep.
But the architect always gets
Architect's
demolished.
Always good.
Well,
it's the one that always gets assassinated. No, she's saying if you play with the assassin and the thief, like, if they don't get assassinated, you get thieved as the architect. Like, otherwise, like, the merchant and the architect always...
Yeah, the merchant should always be assassinated.
Yeah, and then the architect should always be thieved from. Like, it's just...
Probably, yeah.
But, yeah.
I just see a big face.
It's just Brian making faces.
Brian hates all the games we're talking about.
Brian's angry about everything.
But he's not here to stop us.
That's true.
Remember when we used to go to Denny's? That was delicious.
Yeah.
I did enjoy Denny's. Good news. What? Lewis, during the summer, wants to really start that up again.
Okay. Going out to Denny's. I thought he'd be like, good news, Lewis lost his job.
Yeah.
But he's talking Denny's used to be really popular when there were like three unemployed people. That,
hey,
like,
two of those unemployed people, well, one of them is employed now, are coming back to Madison soon, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because Keith and Marshall both.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for them to come back.
Okay, I'll quit my job. Whatever. Denny's is worth it.
We're closing in on a month now.
I know. It's coming very soon.
Yep.
I'm trying to convince them to move a block away from us.
There is a house for sale, like right there.
Yeah, but there's a shooting.
No, there's a house that wasn't where the shooting was.
Oh, okay.
Also for sale, like a block from us.
Okay, it's
still nearby.
I don't think that the shooting is a regular occurrence. This is the first time it's happened, and it was a big deal, and it happened in three separate locations in Madison, one of which was the mall.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's...
I like how they, like, we didn't realize one of them had happened on our street, but we just saw all, like, the news crews and the cops and everything, and this was, like, a couple weeks later. We were like, what's going on? So we, like, looked up, like, Chelsea Street News Madison, and it was like, there was a shooting there. Well, I wish I'd known that.
Like, I was actually happier when I didn't know
that. Well, yeah, I suppose, but... And, like, all three were, like, the article went into great detail. Apparently all three were gang-related, so...
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah,
it sucks.
It is what it is.
So is your face.
Mm.
Snap.
Mm.
And that's Katie's kitchen.
Kitchen.
Oh, no, we're still on Adepticon.
We are
Adepticon. That was Vinny Vici.
Viticulture.
Viticulture. That was Viticulture.
I should probably give
him... Oh, my God. Shut up, Brian. What is he...
Let me get a quick shout-out to everybody. So we did Who's the Boss?
Yes.
Another one. This time around, we ended up having all the painted casters, and they all converged at Adepticon. So I've got a long list of people. I already said it on Facebook, but I'm going to do it on the podcast here as well.
Okay.
Lauren Fahey, who's Griffin Roost Studios, painted up all my Scorn. Nathan...
That's Cheddar Caveman's wife, right?
That is Cheddar Caveman's wife. This Scorn just looks beautiful.
It does look really good.
There will be pictures eventually that will be put up on our site.
Hold your breath. It'll happen. Don't even worry about it.
It will. It will. Nate Lawrenson had painted my Legion for some odd reason. He calls himself Nathan Scott on the forums.
Okay.
Or on the Facebooks. Brian Kerr painted up my Circle.
Oh, nice.
Chris Siri painted up my Minions. Sad story about that is my Lord Carver took a dump.
Oh, yeah. You told me about that.
He fell and then
got stepped on.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a rough day for Lord Carver.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, to be fair, the guy was very loosely carrying him on the side of his tray with no support or protection whatsoever.
A full tray where the models are unlikely to fall out, right?
Yeah, probably not.
It actually was a full tray.
Really?
But he wasn't in a slot, I think. I think he was just like up on the side, like the tray was full or something.
Yeah.
That's no good.
So that accident has caused something new to happen, and I'm thinking it would actually work out better. Like a mini delivery service for Who's the Boss. Basically, spin up a caster, go to your table with your card, read over your card, and
we'll bring it to you.
And then we'll bring the caster to you. Because battle damage at the table.
That's happened. But it's happened several times that they've been dropped between the table and the wheel that I can remember.
How are people dropping casters?
Like, because they've got their tray, and then they're like, oh, I'm going to just take this caster. I'm just walking over the table. I'm just going to like put them loosely on here. Like, the getting stepped on was extreme, but I have seen several of the casters dropped.
Yeah, because people's trays are like full with their army, and then all of a sudden there's another model, and they're like, well, I guess I'll have the tray here, and then I'll just kind of hold him with these two fingers because I'm carrying the tray.
Or like you roll Terminus, and you just don't have a huge slot open on your tray, or a large slot, or something like that.
Well, yeah, but you can put your models down and then come back.
You could if you were an idiot.
But people don't.
Yeah, the other thing, though, too, is a lot of people carry the card.
Yeah.
Like this, and then have the model on top of the card.
Yeah, which is
so they don't have a very good grip on it. So miniature delivery system, they'll be probably happening.
Yes.
So that was by Chris Siri. Nick Kleeman painted up my Signar. Oh my God, they look beautiful as well.
I didn't look at the Signar.
Oh,
I believe you.
Yeah. Marshall Wentworth painted up all my Crix.
Nice.
Rick Way painted up my Kador.
Kador, of course.
The majority of my Kador. Matt Channing painted up one of Strakoff for it. And then my phone just shut off.
That's helpful.
Stuart Liming painted up my Protectorate.
Ooh, nice. Stu.
Stu's pretty sexy. He still has a couple more models to paint for me. Jason Watt painted up all my Convergence.
Is that Legal Gun?
No, Jason Watt.
Oh, Jason Watt.
Yeah.
Oh, like Watt.
Yeah.
Like Watt.
Like Jason Watt, yeah. Painted up my Convergence.
I just noticed Legal Gun was selling
Who's
Convergence.
Jason Watt? Who's Watt?
Watt.
He is
like
one
Lord
of the
Tyrant Watt on the forums.
He's one of the high championship caliber players. He's
a beautiful painter.
I'm trying to think. he wasn't at Adepticon at the finals table, but he's been at a ton of
finals tables. He's been his second in a lot of events.
He's been second in a lot lately. Like, well, he was cheered on for that. He went back to his Scorn, right? Because he was doing convergence, and he just couldn't get first with his convergence. He got like a lot of second place finishes with his convergence.
Yeah.
Well, he got Iron Gauntlet, like the final Iron Gauntlet. He played versus Jay and got second with his convergence.
Correct. So. He got second, I believe. I think it was Masters or Nathan.
At Adepticon?
Nathan.
He's peeing.
Oh, he's peeing. Never mind.
What do you think he's...
I'm going to
blow my nose. Why? Oh. Jason got second for Convergence, or not Convergence, but for Masters or IG?
At Adepticon?
Yeah, I think it was Masters.
Maybe. I don't know. He wasn't playing Convergence anyway.
No, but he was playing a Scorn.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. He got second. No, it wasn't Iron Gauntlet, because Iron Gauntlet... I forget who Jay beat. He beat John Carter.
Then it was Masters then. Alright. Anyway, they look freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Charles Foster III painted up my mercenaries.
Nice.
For Italian charter. I got Legal Gun, Jason Coates. Painted up my Magnuses.
Oh, just the Magnuses. Nice.
Yep. Davis Messer. He has that beautiful Signar army that with the
checkerboard. That Brett Fogel was second at IG, so Watt wasn't second at either one. He might have gotten like third or something, but
yeah, I didn't think he was second in anything. But you guys kept insisting.
Well, Travis, tell us. Oh yeah, he got second at Masters. That's what I said.
Brett Fogel was second.
Oh,
at Adepticon, and he was not
at Iron Gauntlet. Oh well, Jay won Iron Gauntlet, last game was against
Brett Fogel. Then.
Yeah, Brett Fogel.
Yeah.
No.
Travis is right. Yeah,
but getting second doesn't mean that he's the person he played the last round. We're saying two different
Masters,
things.
They do. I think they do final table variants for both those events.
Oh.
I think that might be true. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Question mark. Oh wait, he was second in Masters. He says he totally was second in Masters.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're just wrong.
Oh my Jesus.
Never mind. Read Travis's comments. You'll figure it out.
I don't want to read his comments. Read your fucking list of painters.
I'm almost done.
Okay. Go faster.
So Davis Messer painted up Damiano and McBain. Ashland was donated by Tim Rich. And Durgan Gordon was actually donated by, well, not donated, but I bought it from somebody else, and the original painter was Arkentire.
Okay.
Then I also had Jordan Nock, Jeremy Kofoot, Matthew Bunting, Adam Bowl, and Felix all donated miniatures to let us use those.
Oh, so somebody donated Rhett then?
So there's a couple donated Rhett that were in there. They were my Rhett.
I knew your Rhett was probably in there. Your Rhett looks really good.
Yeah. But yeah, it was pretty awesome. I spent a whole bunch of press ganger points to get raffles.
Yeah.
For there, we gave away a Sacra Vault, a Titan Extreme Gladiator, a Brennos.
So somebody lost.
No, he's a beautiful model. Drew Goldwilder.
Did you see him in person?
I saw him in person with two right legs.
That's interesting. In person, he looks a lot better.
They missed several of the ones they had at Adepticon that were missed packs, and so they had two of the right leg and no left leg in there.
Why is he defense 11? Like, if he was like 14, 17, or 13.
He's like an old man beast stat.
Unplayable trash.
I
I just... We gotta get Jim on here. We have to have Jim do the circle one.
No, Cheddar Caveman already has said he's going to come on and he's going to do things. He's going to explain the faction while Katie drinks on the other microphone and just hurls obscenities or whatever she wants to do.
Okay.
Which I think would be amazing.
Okay.
I would very much enjoy watching Katie just get drunk while Chad talks
about it. No, every once in a while she'll just look up from Candy Crush and go, what?
And then go back down. The deal is she has to actually pay attention. She can drink as much as she wants, but she can't be on her iPad.
Also, I haven't been on my iPad this much this episode, and you guys talked a lot about War Machines, so I feel like I should get some credit over here. High five.
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
We're so proud of you.
Okay. Yes.
Now it just looks like you're saluting Hitler. You were just doing this across the table.
Well, now you are.
Like, the people who are bringing up racist things are not me. Yes, I'm overachieving on them, but it's coming from you.
You're not starting it. You just finish it.
I just finished the conversation. You're the instigator.
Here's what it is, though. Both of my jokes were calling you racist, and then you responded by being racist.
Well, it's funny that way. Also, I wasn't actually being funny. I was just being funny.
That's a good point.
Shut up. I was giving a high five, and then you were all like, you're being racist.
Was that me? Andy, did you play back the audio?
Yeah,
I could have sworn that was me.
I could have sworn that was Nathan.
I hate you. Why am I here?
Because you forgot about how much you hated us.
Because you aren't working today.
Congratulations on not working today.
Yeah.
Whole day. It's pretty good.
One whole day.
I was very excited to just get Jeremy, and then Jeremy messaged or called me this morning. He's like, Katie wants to come too. And I'm like, woo! Excellent.
Yeah, they thought they were going to get just me, and they were all very sad.
No, I was excited.
You were excited. It's been a long time since I've been on.
Yeah.
And now we see why.
To let people know, too, I know that there's a Zappity Crumble. Yeah. There's a Zappity Grumble question that basically had said that there was now that Jeremy was replaced. Jeremy wasn't replaced. Neither Katie has been replaced. It's been, you guys took a hiatus.
We were on sabbatical. Been
busy.
Yeah, we have been really busy, actually. But.
It's not like we get paid for doing this. No, unfortunately. You have to hold down a job or something.
At some point you do. And like, theoretically, I could have been coming without Katie, but it was one of those things where like, we literally went to her office and like helped her do her job because her coworker, they're not even coworkers, her reportees.
Well, they're all new. Like, the problem is, like, the entire accounting department turned over, and so, like, the one that's been there the longest has been there less than 3 months.
Not counting you.
Not counting me.
Yeah.
And so it's...
Yeah, like, it's rough.
They're just, it just takes a little bit longer. They have to get trained.
Yeah. So I went in and, like, literally, like, read through compared numbers and stuff. It was super exciting.
He was double checking my work.
And then other Sundays, it's just like, I could come record with you guys, or I could bring Katie dinner because she's not going to be home till 8, and...
That
bringing seems, Katie dinner wins.
That seems to be a much better husbandry thing
to do. At the end of the day, yeah, because my job is staying married. Okay, so I have to share this story because this is ridiculous. So Katie and I, we were working on the Katie's Kitchen stuff. So we're sitting in the office and we're like watching the videos. And so I'm at my normal desk chair, and then there's another chair, like kind of where Katie's sitting right now. And she had a blanket on and whatever. And she gets up to, like, we're done with the videos or whatever, and I'm still puttering a little bit. So she gets up to go do whatever. And she just like leaves the chair there and throws the blanket on the floor and like, I 10 minutes later, just like, she like calls me from the other room, and I'm like, oh man. So I try to jump up, and I just like couldn't extricate myself from where I was, like between the blanket and the chair. And like, I think the dog was there. Like, it was just like, I couldn't get out. And so I'm like, I'm trying to come, but I'm trapped. And she was like, I know. And I was like, I don't really get what's good. Like, I'm walking over towards where she is, and she's like, no, I know, you totally are. And I walk into the room, and she reaches down and grabs my finger, and she goes, yeah, you are. Damn it.
It wasn't a very good story.
It wasn't. I was waiting for a funny part to happen.
Funny, damn it.
Yeah.
See,
also, you're not the one who's trapped because you married up like a motherfucker, okay?
It's a funny joke.
It's like in Watchmen, You're not trapped in here. I'm not trapped in here with you. You're trapped in here with me. That's what you should have said to Katie at the end of that.
That's what I should have said. That's true. That would be a good response.
Jeremy's Rorschach.
It's a witty one-liner that you've turned into a whole story.
I ruined it. I'm out of practice.
Yay.
Travis did point out that husbandry is related to horses as well. Well, Katie is the thoroughbred of suit.
She is the thoroughbred of suit. She's even wearing the shirt.
That's true.
This is one of my favorite shirts, by the way, Andy. Thank you for it.
It is a really cool shirt.
I have to pee now, too, though.
Yay!
It's a theme today.
Except I just blew my nose.
No, you peed.
Oh, okay. Well, sometimes when I blow my nose, I pee a little.
Apparently.
You
have to change your pants.
I watched the first episode of Fringe, so I'm getting on that.
Oh, nice.
That's topical because somebody pees themselves in that, and it's funny.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Well, have you seen Fringe?
I have not.
It's got the guy from Fringe in it. And so he, they're driving after picking him up from the insane asylum, and he's in the back seat, and all of a sudden he goes, oh! And they're like, what? He's like, I just wet my pants. Just a little squirt.
What we've been watching, basically on a recommendation from you, and there hasn't been an episode in a few weeks, sadly, but is Constantine.
Yeah.
We've been enjoying immensely.
Yeah.
Did that get picked up, or did that get picked up by a different network?
There's been talk. I need to double check because I haven't seen it in a while, because it almost was they stopped filming.
Yeah, there were like six episodes,
but then it kept going, and then there was talk that it was going to move to the Sci-Fi Channel, and they were going to rename it Hellblazer, which was the name of the Constantine's the main character in the comic book Hellblazer. Okay. So there was talk it's going to move, and like literally all of it, like all the cast, all the crew, 100% of the staff was going to move to Sci-Fi Channel with a different name. But that was a couple months ago. I read that, and I haven't looked into it again, so I don't know.
Brian
if it's still
says
true.
It has not been picked up yet.
Okay,
And he does follow TV a frightening amount.
Yeah.
So he might know.
Oh, and I'm glad he also said it because I meant to ask him. I knew that one of the seasons of Fringe was the worst thing ever, and I couldn't remember if it was season 3 or 4. It's apparently season 4. Apparently
season 4 is the worst thing
ever. Is that the one
but
where...
But every time that the old guy's on screen... Well, not every time, but every once in a while we'll be watching, I'll be like, oh, Raylene, look, it's that guy from Fringe. Because that's what I call him every time we see him on Sleepy Hollow. So now that we're watching him on Fringe, I like to keep calling him the guy from Fringe.
That makes sense. But yeah, I enjoyed Constantine. I'm sad to hear that it might not be picked up because I was enjoying it, but...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if it did well enough, I mean, some place will probably pick it up. It could probably be made over on Hulu. I mean, there's Hulu, there's Amazon Prime, there's Netflix. They're actually all making their own series now. So
yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah, that was pretty good.
The last episode was pretty cliffhangery, reveal-y thing. If it's the episode I think of, there was a trusted character who revealed that they're actually an evil person.
I think I did see that one, but I'm...
That's the last episode I saw, okay. And I usually Hulu tells me when there's new episodes.
Oh, yeah, yes.
So if that's the end of the series, it'll be a hell of a place to never have another episode.
Yeah, that would be a hell of a way to end it.
Fingers crossed it gets picked up either as Constantine or as Hellblazer on the Sci-Fi Channel.
That would be cool.
Because I think it did decently well.
Yeah, we were...
Which show?
Constantine.
I like that show. Right. It did get renewed?
Well, it's apparently maybe canceled, maybe moving.
It's on the bubble.
Yeah, like it's on the bubble right now. That's what we were talking about.
I really enjoyed it. Like, I thought at first that the actor was not doing a very good job, but I got used to him.
Yeah. It'll probably be... I bet you it'll get picked up.
I mean it's a quirky sci-fi show on Fox. Those always do well.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Constantine is not on Fox.
Is it not on Fox?
No, I think it's an NBC, maybe?
Have you guys been following the Indiegogo for Con Man at all?
No.
Okay, so
I watched the one trailer, and I was like, that was cute, and then I stopped giving a shit.
So there's literally one... Like, they do these little videos every time they, like, break one of their goals, and one of the videos, he's literally, like, drawing a finger flip and then writing the word Fox underneath it, and then Nathan Fillion comes running on screen and like stops him and erases the whole board. He's literally just like, fuck Fox. It's actually pretty clever. I've enjoyed the little videos.
That was a toot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to that.
No,
that'll be bad.
Did you see the Ryan Reynolds dressed up in Deadpool's outfit?
Nope.
Laying on like the bearskin rug.
Yeah. It's looks pretty good.
It's something.
There's roughly 100% chance that the Deadpool movie will be terrible.
So is that a movie?
Which is unfortunate.
Then?
It probably
the Deadpool
will be a
movie pain train. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. I have high hopes.
It's either going to be too wacky or not wacky enough. It's so... Even the actual Deadpool comics, I think 90% of them are terrible because it's really hard to get Deadpool right.
Yeah. Well, the problem with Deadpool is he alone, but not the rest of the cast, is constantly breaking the third wall.
Fourth wall, sorry.
It's like Zach on...
Saved by the Bell.
They do it well, but it's hard to do well.
Well, yeah.
Ferris Bueller did it well,
but Ferris Bueller doesn't break it a lot. He breaks it every once in a while.
The example that we've used, I think that's been conversations with Andy or Jim or whoever, but various ones have had this stance, is that Wayne's World, but as an action film. Like, Wayne's World breaks the fourth wall the correct amount as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It has the right amount of self-awareness. So if Deadpool gets that amount...
It'd be cool.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
I've never seen Wayne's World.
Really?
Is it good?
Yes. Both Wayne's World is an amazing film. Wayne's World 2 is a legitimately decent sequel.
It is also very topical to Wayne's World 2.
Yeah.
Because you ever see that movie in Scanners when the guy's head? Yeah.
Wow.
This is the episode of Great Anecdotes.
Yeah, yes. Excellent.
We're so good at the anecdotes.
Good job.
We're funny.
Wayne's World is a good film.
Who are you replaced with?
Huh?
Earlier, Andy was saying that you got replaced.
Oh, somebody commented that they thought I was replaced or something like that. I assume Jim.
Jim?
I would assume.
Yeah. I mean, we've had various people on.
It's a little bit
on.
Funny because Jim is so negative and you're so positive and happy-go-lucky.
I try.
Jim was oddly positive throughout all the podcasts, but then his...
I've been listening to the podcast. I don't know if that's 100% true.
He broke down in the most recent one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like that most recent one, he was super negative. Like,
yeah.
Or as I like to think of it, classic Jim.
He for a while there we had a whole taste of new Coke and then go back to classic.
Like you get flashes of Jim in some of the first few episodes with you guys. Like every once in a while, like there'd be the level of happiness here, and then we'd have the Jim dip, and then we'd be back again. But like that last episode, Jim was just like
well, it was one of those. I don't feel like I tricked him into being in the podcast, but I invited him over for watching Breaking Bad before then. He did mention he didn't really want to do the podcast.
Well, that would explain why he'll do it.
Jim cracks me up. I don't know that he's one of those people that I don't know that he means to be funny, but I find him hysterical.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I really enjoy other people's misery.
I have again, to say, watching Katie is the
watching
bad
Jim and Katie yes. troll a room is one of the most glorious things you can ever witness.
Well, Jim is actually actively trying to hurt somebody, and I'm just seeing how far you can push it.
Which is the same thing at the end of the day.
Jim's actively stabbing somebody, and then you're like, I'm just gonna see if
just
I can
push
get
it
that
forward into the dagger a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit more.
No, she's more like the guy from Saw, where she's not actually doing the murder.
She's letting
seeing
you
if
hurt
she can,
yourself.
Yeah, she's Force seeing if she people? Can break your spirit into the point where that happens to occur. But she didn't put you in the bear trap. She just put you adjacent to one and then had a gun to your family. No denial whatsoever.
Words.
But you're so pretty.
Well, it's just so funny how, like, very rarely people call you out on stuff like that. Like,
really? I feel like we as a group call you out on that all
well,
the time.
Well, yeah.
But you the internet has watched 100 episodes of Katie, and they still think she's the sweet, kind, friendly, nicest one on the podcast. Like, I go to conventions and people are like, it's nice to see you, but where's the nice one? Where's Katie? I'm like, I don't know where the nice one is, but it's not Katie.
So I was so happy about that interaction at Adepticon. It made my day.
Well,
I wish I knew who that was. It's probably the guy I spilled beer all over.
There was somebody, like, I tried to break him the entire time. And I finally had to just stop being mean to him because
it
felt
green?
So bad.
Was it green?
No, it wasn't green.
Travis just said you're his spirit animal, by the way.
Yeah, I am. I think it might have been Charles Foster.
It might have been Charles Foster. Oh, Charlie. I really enjoyed Adepticon this year. Hilariously, I didn't play in a single tournament, and I had a blast. I played like 4 or 5 games of War Machine total, all Iron Arena.
Charlie was telling me about how...
Maybe more than that, but not a lot more.
The first time he met me was when I flipped my shit on Josh Russell. That was literally the first time Charles Foster III had ever seen me. That was his introduction. And so he after that just thought I was the biggest shithead on the planet.
Well, to be fair,
and then after
wrong.
More interactions with Josh Russell, he's like, oh, I should give this Nate guy a second chance because maybe from his side.
Oh, Russell.
Yep. All right. We used to do some zappity grumbles.
Moving on to zappities and grumbles? Yeah, let's grumble the zaps.
All right, I got Twitter. I'm going to do them all this time, Nathan, so you don't have to do anything. You
Yay!
Just have to sit there and listen.
That's
we
what
had
she
troubles
said.
After you
I
left.
I remember. I've been listening, and every time it starts zappity grumble, I'm like, oh, God. Rails, train, off of them. Like, this is just bad.
So's your face.
So I had made a mention that Jeremy was back, and Matthew Lust immediately responded with,
oh,
does
God.
He have to?
About Jeremy being back.
I like the grammatical incorrectness there. That's great. Well, Jeremy's back. Does he have to?
Thanks, Matt. Love you too, buddy.
Robert Derefsky asks...
I make a mess too.
As you destroy my equipment.
I try.
I thought Jeremy was just an excuse to get Katie on. Like when your mom used to let you go to the park if you took your kid brother.
So I'm the kid brother?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Katie's the park.
No.
What? Yeah, we're
in the
going
story,
to,
you get to
no,
go to the
actually
park.
Right, because
and I'm
the
kid
desired...
brother.
Yeah, but he was the kid. So I would be the kid.
No, you
would
no. Be, they would be
we're
the older
podcast
brother.
Podcast would be the park.
No, you would be the park.
You're the thing that is wanted.
Yes.
You're the
I'm
positive.
I'm the thing you have to take.
Yeah.
They're the older brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
So you're the park.
Yeah. No.
I don't think that's what Annie meant
to go. No, I think where it's meant to go there is that Katie is the older brother that she... Her mom is going
to
let her go to the park
only if she brings
but
her little brother.
But that would imply that Katie wants to be on the
podcast
which
is
the issue. And
that's
Jeremy and I
are
saying.
That is tricky.
We're not a reward for her if she suffers him.
She's
the
reward
for
you guys
if we suffer
if
him.
Suffer through
so
me.
We're the kid. She's
the
park that we all want to be in.
I'm the little brother.
And he's the little brother.
Do I close at 10?
That's what I heard from Jeremy.
But I'm punch.
Zappity. Open to the
public.
Oh my God. Zappity, dear God, Zappity.
All right. Green asks, which Disney princess are you?
Katie actually did this. I don't know.
It was
Disney princess.
No, it
was
just what kind of princess.
Princess
are
you?
What kind
he
of
asked
Disney
this. He asked that same thing before, I think.
Well,
didn't he?
Possible. I don't remember answering it.
Let me think about it. Andy, you start.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Raylene put something on her Facebook a couple days ago, which was that, you know, everybody wants to be a Disney princess, but she just wants to be Yzma. And it's hard to disagree with that. Like, I would totally be Yzma.
She is really
if
funny.
I could. I want... She needs to be on Once Upon a Time. Just Eartha Kitt, Eddie, and Patrick Warburton could be Kronk. Like, just bring them the fuck over. As long as they're going to have, like, Cruella De Vil and stuff on there, might as well get Yzma.
Mm-hmm. Who's Yzma?
Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, yes.
She's the funny one. That's Eartha Kitt?
Eartha Kitt, yeah. That's what I said. She played herself. Fine. Tell us where the Talking Llama is, or we'll burn your house to the ground.
That is a surprisingly funny movie.
It's a great movie. I don't think it gets enough credit. Like,
well, I think the problem with that movie is like they tread that fine line where they want to be good for kids and good for grown-ups. That one, in my opinion, falls more into the it's very enjoyable for grown-ups and less. Like, my kid brothers were kids when it came out, and they enjoyed it less.
I think it suffers. I think it suffers from something that was completely outside of its control. I believe that it is one of the animated Disney films that came out after Pixar came out,
and so it was just
and
suffering.
Pixar was just like, we're fucking Pixar.
We're Pixar,
and everybody's like, Disney, we don't care about you anymore because have you seen Toy Story?
Yeah, have you seen what these guys
are
doing?
Have you seen Monsters, Inc.? I mean, what are you even doing existing?
I think Monsters, Inc. isn't as good as Emperor's New Groove.
I don't necessarily either.
I don't know, but I'm just saying that
people really turned away from Disney. Like, there was this golden age with The Lion King and Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin and everything, and then Pixar happened, and all of a sudden that golden age ended, and I don't think it's a coincidence, because the quality... I mean, yeah, there was shit like Home on the Range, but like,
but a lot of their,
Treasure
sure
Planet
of their,
isn't a bad movie.
But I'm sure a bunch of their guys went to
movie.
Pixar,
That's,
too.
That is number one possible, but I don't think it's a quality thing. I don't think movies like Treasure Planet and Emperor's New Groove are bad. I think that just the public shifted.
They shifted to the art style.
The art shifted too. The art style is very different in those.
Yep. Also, I'm going with Leia.
Like, Lilo and
Is
Stitch.
Your Disney princess?
That's my Disney princess.
That's
I'll
fair.
Be Leia.
That's fair.
She's awesome.
Also, like, Lilo and Stitch was the first movie to start having animation back into, like, having the old school style of backgrounds and everything back in.
Yeah, and that also didn't do particularly well. That's what I'm saying is, like, this whole thing, there's this whole time when Disney was still doing traditional animation, and there's like 5 or 6 Disney films in a row that bombed, and all of those happened between the time Pixar came out and when Disney acquired Pixar and also switched to that.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Yeah. I think it's just the public stopped giving a shit about hand-drawn animation.
They might have. But that doesn't tell us which princess you are.
I want to say kind of similar to like other...
Just take Thor.
Female people. No, she's not princess.
Thor's Disney?
No.
You're not going to take Thor as a Disney princess?
No.
All right. I mean, Thor's a princess and...
But
Disney
you want
property.
To have... I don't like a lot of the old school Disney princesses, really, because they're more of just a
damsel in distress.
Yeah, just a damsel in distress. They're just kind of.
I don't know that they are. Like, if you take Ariel, like, she's pretty kick-ass.
Well,
she
Ariel's
does
much
Ariel,
more recent.
She's talking like Sleeping Beauty,
Sleeping
and Cinderella.
Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella, and that they're just more of just kind of, they're kind of privileged in a sense.
Yeah.
I guess I like a little bit more independence in.
So be what's her nuts from Brave. The chick whose name nobody knows because
she's the one from Brave. Yeah, the red-haired one.
Or be the 12-year-old Indian who got raped by a bunch of guys.
Pocahontas.
Yeah.
No, I'll be the gal from Brave. Okay. I applaud, you could be Lilo. No, she's not actually a princess.
I suppose not.
Now, all the others are actual princesses.
So I'm going to pick one, but it's not actually a Disney princess. I really liked Anastasia. I thought she was really awesome.
Didn't Disney do an Anastasia?
No,
film?
No, it wasn't Disney.
That was outside of Disney.
I forget who it was.
It was really good though. I enjoyed
it. It was probably DreamWorks.
I don't think it was. I think it was like because who did like the Swan Princess and
Miranda is her name from.
Miranda.
There was that other shitty one with Steve Urkel as a talking chicken.
I don't know what that one is.
What?
There was an animated film that had the guy who played Urkel as a talking chicken.
Yeah, the Sky is Falling.
No, not that one.
It wasn't Chicken Little.
No. This is a non-Disney one, which is the reason I brought it up. We're grinding to a halt.
See, this is what happens when I listen to
you. Jeremy, you're the only one who hasn't given us a Disney princess.
I'm a Disney princess. I'm Belle. I always liked Belle. She's book smart, and she's kick-ass, and I like Belle a lot.
as Gaston, and I do love the guy who plays the live action version of Gaston.
Fox Animation produced Anastasia.
There was a fantastic video of a guy at Disney World was like trying to show off for his girl. Like, it was like a 20 something year old guy trying to show off for his girl, and he's like challenges their Gaston to like an
one arm push ups.
Yeah, one arm push ups, and Gaston just fucking wrecks him. Yeah, like they're doing two handed push ups, and Gaston starts doing one just as fast. He's like, because he needs an extra arm, like he needs a hand. Like, oh my god, he just destroys him.
That guy is a great Gaston. His interaction with that like 6 year old girl is also amazing. Have you seen that one?
I've seen that one.
She's like being totally sassy, talking about how Beast is gonna beat you up and Beast is the best at everything, and he's like, why are you talking to me? Go make a sandwich. That's what you're for. And it's great. And people, oh my god, fucking, you know, YouTube comments, and people are like, he shouldn't say that to a girl, blah blah blah, because that encourages he's gender stereotypes. I'm like, he's the villain.
Yeah.
The girl knows that anything he says is bullshit. Yeah. Like, calm down, people.
Well, that guy's amazing. That when he does the push up thing, I was just like losing my crap. That was amazing.
Great. Yeah, the 6 year old interaction is amazing.
It's also
too.
Good. Yeah,
he's,
to check that one out.
He is the best.
All right. So, Bell.
Zebedee.
Grumble.
All right. How did you like the new venue for Adepticon? Jason Tick asks.
It was amazing.
Quest for Camelot was the one where Steve Urkel was a talking chicken.
He was like the
bad guy had demons that were like living weapons, and then he somehow got crossed with a chicken, and then there was another. Whatever. The point is, it was a terrible movie, and he was in it. And I didn't check who made it, which was the whole point. I looked it up before she took the phone.
I'm sorry. It's not like he had more before I interrupted him. The question.
He just thought it was nice to have such a large space.
It was amazing.
It was a much better venue than the previous one. Having Privateer not felt like it was just stuck in a meeting room good.
Did you hear, I don't know if Sam told you this, Sam told me, that area that was outside that was like a third us, a third Warhammer, and a third, is all War Machine next year.
Oh, wow.
Like, we have that whole area for Iron Arena, and then the end of the room will be just tournaments.
That was the big issue.
Which is a really cool idea.
Big issue this time around was Iron Arena was not big enough. Having only, like, 8 tables for Iron Arena was...
Well, people were just spreading on the tables that weren't supposed to be Iron Arena, which was problematic.
At Adepticon, War Machine keeps being just barely too big for the space it's in, because they keep expanding at the same rate that they keep giving more space.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's just hilarious that every single time. Yeah, it's like the pants I buy.
It's a nice problem.
Which is a less good problem.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble.
If Imran gave up on this never-ending war between countries, cults, and tribes, and instead agreed to let wrestling decide which victories, which faction would be given the title belt, and who would each faction submit, not limited to Warcasters, Warlocks, or... What could be solos?
Gators legitimately have luchadors as a war beast.
Yeah, the wrestler.
Yeah, they do.
The Blackhide wrestler would be theirs.
Yeah.
I would say that Butcher would probably make a good wrestler for him.
He'd be pretty all right.
I mean, he's already got a wrestling name. I mean, he's basically it. He's got the crazy mentality. I would love to watch an interview by the Butcher.
You know who I'm going for, because I think in the fluff, he's got to be like totally the one who is legit most likely to be a WWE wrestler.
Okay.
And nobody's going to think of him because nobody feels him on the goddamn table. It's Bloody Barnabas.
Yeah, I can see
that. Guy's whole thing is that he's a drunken barroom brawler.
That's true.
Like, that guy will throw you through a table.
Well, we already have Gators, though.
Chosen. Or not Barnabas, I'm sorry. Bradagus. Bloody Bradagus. Bloody Bradagus.
Oh, from Mercenaries. Yeah. I also think, though, the mechanical arm Magnus might be good, too.
Sure.
Seems like
because he could use that as a foreign object, because, you know.
I don't think Rhett has a single character that I would, like, even put forward as WWE. Like,
well, you could
they're just all flimsy and girlified.
Yeah.
Gareth could be glow. Like a...
No, Gareth, no.
Gareth could be the old man.
Gareth would not wrestle. Gareth would
well,
not.
Well, okay, then...
Come on. WWF had Gold Dust.
I suppose.
So one of your elf guys can do that.
The Artificer. The Artificer looks like
Hulk
Hands.
Yeah.
Hulk Hands looks like he could wrestle. He'd get worked on.
All right,
can I submit Getterex?
I feel like you should.
That's who I would pick.
Either Getterex or Cro-Mac, I think, would be a good choice
Cro-Mac
for...
Cro-Mac doesn't hit hard enough.
Well, I feel like Getterex and Cro-Mac would be one of those, like, they tap in, tap out, like the tag teams. Like, they'd be a great tag team.
You know who'd be a great tag team?
Who's that?
Sturm and Drang. he could be wrestling, and then he could literally just tag himself in and then just keep wrestling, but in a different style.
That would be amazing.
Also, it's hard to pin a centaur.
It would be hard to pin a centaur.
You could sure as hell suplex them.
You could. The Rock can.
Yep.
Can you smell what the Rock
else we got? We got a Protectorate.
Nobody cares.
Come on. I mean,
no, it'd just be one of the stupid.
The Legions.
Legions Order of the Fist of the Way, you know.
Somebody says it can't be a real crippled system because I see Katie. Look, I think it's Charlie.
Charlie Foster the Third.
Yeah. Yep.
The book would be a good wrestler because they would just sit there and take a beating.
He would be their stage. He would be their manager on the side, like Paul Bearer, and just making sure they couldn't be knocked down.
I'm just gonna sit here and read a book, and you'll be fine. Don't worry, it'll be great.
They get suplexed and then just bounce back up onto their feet.
Side note: fuck the book, by the way. Fucking hate that model.
Yeah. It would be okay if it weren't for Ancient Shroud. It would be a solid 2-point solo if you could kill it if you got to it.
Yeah, or it's shot it or something.
I mean, it can be far enough back. It's protectable. It doesn't need
Ancient
Shroud.
The problem is they can jam it down your fucking throat and it still doesn't die.
That's my point, because of Ancient Shroud. Yeah. Ancient Shroud is the issue.
You just have to have enough shooting to hit it five times. Why.
Did you ever see either of you, or the, I don't know if you especially, I think, weren't a big no-quarter reader or whatever, but the scenario, this might predate you, where Garrick Voyle... So Garrick Voyle was the leader of Menoth before he died for plot reasons. There's a scenario where you could play as him. And the big thing was, so he had like 20 hit points and he had Ancient Shroud as a warcaster. So you had to hit him 20 times. He had 3 melee weapons, one of which was him actually using the power of Menoth. It was a POW 25 Weapon Master Armor Piercer with decap.
So he just, I hit you, you're dead.
Yeah, the minimum he could do to an Armor 20 model was 46 damage with Snake Eyes.
Holy crap.
It was great. There was a whole scenario. It was like him versus an army, and it wasn't even a contest. It was just him one-shotting Jax and just murdering everything.
He's the wrestler I pick.
Yeah, Garrick Voyle would fucking win.
Or Vintner.
Voyle would murder Vintner.
Well, yeah, because Vintner can't use a sword.
Vintner is coming.
I know, Vintner is coming.
So,
retreat.
Privateer Press did the Vintner is coming thing, and somebody tweeted, they're like, really, Privateer Press? A parody and a pun? You're better than this. And Privateer Press responded, no, we're not. I'm like, I don't know who tweeted that, but they're my new favorite staffer.
That was fantastic. Zappity.
Crumble. What is the one video game you played when you were younger and that has held up the best today?
Mario Kart.
That's a good answer.
Really, any of the side scroll. I love side scroll games, like the original Super Mario's and Legend of Zelda 2. Like, I'll play the fuck out of those.
Yeah,
Bayonetta Commando for me.
Yeah, side scroll.
Even the original game, I still play that. I've got a Game Boy Advance. I play that, and the remake that they made is really good too.
Tetris.
No, I don't really play Tetris anymore.
But Tetris
it holds up, but I don't really play it.
It holds up very well. But yeah, any side scroll, because they don't, the thing with those and with things like Tetris or whatever is that it's not about the graphics, you know? And so that's why the things that people finally remember from their old games are things either RPGs, I think, where they really like the plot, like Chrono Trigger and stuff like that, or old school Sonic and Mario
honestly,
and shit like that.
All the Final Fantasies I feel like hold up really well. Like up to the point where they're not good anymore, but the ones that were good.
Yeah.
Hold up. Bionic Commando was great.
No, just
and now is the Vintner of your discontent. Really, Charlie? Really?
It's good that he tries though.
You're so pretty.
But like I do like companies that take the old school games that we played and just give it a graphic upgrade, and they don't actually change the gameplay of that. Like the new and tasty for Oddworld, is the exact same thing as Abe's Odyssey, but just beautiful graphics.
I was looking at the wiki for the Oddworld games. I didn't realize that I was still there. Just looking for stuff and everything, and apparently they're talking that they're going to finish the Pentology because New and Tasty is doing so well that they put all those other games back into production.
Yep.
Which is super excites me because that's one of the things I've always been sad about was that Pentology was never finished.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that world and it was explored so little.
Yep. It is. Yeah. It's probably one of my favorite things. I'm so excited for it to come back.
I'll tell you what I wish they would make more of, and I've actually gone back and played these somewhat recently and still love them, was the King's Quest and Space Quest games were amazing, and there's no reason they couldn't do a new one.
Point and click adventures died pretty much. Have you ever played Grim Fandango?
No, I've heard of it, but never
Grim Fandango
it.
Was just re-released.
Okay.
Like, you can get it, like, PS4. They re-upped the controls. It's on the PlayStation 4, it's on PC and everything. It is my favorite of the LucasArts points and clicks adventure games.
Okay.
It's really good. The plot's amazing, the gameplay's amazing, the humor's great, the character's great.
I'm gonna have to try.
You really, like, I will give you a personal money-back guarantee. If you go home and you download Grim Fandango for your PS4 and you do not like it, I will pay you.
You're giving that promise to someone who has yet to finish Portal 2.
that's fine. Give me Portal 2 back. I want to play it again. But Grim Fandango is amazing. Do you
Portal 2 I downloaded, I thought. I thought I borrowed Portal 1. And I downloaded Portal 2.
No, I loaned you both of them. Oh, all right. I brought Portal 1 over. Thing. I sat there while you played through the entire thing, I loaned you Portal 2.
That's believable.
Point is, Grim Fandango is amazing because it's that LucasArts point-and-click adventure style, and it's in the Land of the Dead. The
art all right, well, great. This Glorp guy is just wrong. He says he doesn't think the King's Quest games hold up all that well. Like, the thing with the King's Quest games is...
Some of them are utter shit, actually.
Outside now that of, like, 3, which was bad... Already, like it was bad the first time through. Like the ones that were good hold up because they weren't graphically based. Like that wasn't what was good about them.
There are many. What I'll say that I'll kind of agree with him about is there are many, many, many games of that type that I think are way better than the King's Quest series. The King's Quest series was a lot of people's introduction into that, but they are worse than. I like Full Throttle better. I like the Space Quest games.
Space
better.
Quest guys are really good.
Day of the Tentacle.
The Day of the Tentacle ones are great.
Maniac Mansion.
Have you played any of the Kyrandia ones? There is a trilogy called Kyrandia that I liked a lot. There's a lot of those old point-and-click adventure games, and the King Quest games are... Hell, I even like the Leisure Suit Larry games better than King's Quest.
Those were fun, too.
They're fun as hell.
For other reasons.
I like Mega Man, but I
well, both reasons.
It.
Mega Man's fucking the bomb.
Yeah.
I haven't played it in
You know what the problem is? I went back and tried to play some Mega Man games.
They're hard.
Like, you forget, like... Every game that's been released in the last decade is just so 100% easy mode compared to those old games. Like, I went back and tried to play Mega Man, and it was like, fuck, I died. Fuck this game!
you see, oh my god, there's a great video series on YouTube called, like, Kids Play or something like that, and they introduced... new old technologies to kids to see how they react to them. One of them was they had a bunch of kids play Mega Man.
Oh, jeez.
And they're sitting there playing, and they're like... Oh, why did I? I can't touch the spikes.
Yeah,
like
you can't touch anything. Ninja Gaiden. Yeah. The first Ninja Gaiden.
Oh my god, Ninja Gaiden was rough back then when you knew that there were no guardrails.
3D versions are really difficult too.
The original Ninja Gaiden. About once a year, I will try to beat that game.
Yeah, I've never beat it.
I have I've got into the last boss.
I've never done that.
I've got fucking
birds.
Fucking birds and pillars. You know, and then I'll watch Speed Demos Archives and people will beat it without dying in 5 minutes. I'm like, you fucking
I hate you
and
hope you die. Yeah.
The amount of Vinter things that are being mentioned.
There's a lot of Vinter things going on at the moment.
In our chat.
Shade of Vinter.
Hey, you know what's good is Vinticulture.
Nice. Bringing it all around.
Full
circle.
Full circle.
Zappity.
Right. We should do another podcast on video games. I like that a lot.
It was fun.
So Zappity Grumble. Yes. Chris Yuri asks, who dies in The Walking Dead tonight? We're not going to talk about
some zombies.
Yep, some zombies. The Walking Dead has been really good so far.
I was enjoying it. I tried to get Katie to watch it. We got like partway through one episode. She was like, it's too tense. And I watched
really
like the first.
Stressful.
Pretty stressful.
I watched up to the farmhouse. And so I watched up to the farmhouse by myself. And I was just like, I'm out.
Yeah, because that's when everybody stopped watching.
Fuck the farmhouse. All the
That show has a lot of peaks and valleys in quality.
It does, and it did up till then. But I like it always peaked again before I lost interest, and then the farmhouse was just like, oh wait, we can dig deeper, guys. We can make this worse.
Farmhouse gets better. It's like
eventually they leave the farmhouse. That's how it gets better.
It's kind of similar to like Breaking Bad. I'm trying not to give it away for other people, but we're episode 5.5 cut off, and we were brought with the episode 5.6, you know,
the second half of the last season.
The second half of the last season, where there was a year there.
Yeah,
that's why I think season 2 is that bad, because we had to. It was boring up to that point, and then we had to wait for like a good 3 months. Chewing the fat of the horrible part, and then it picks up
the
right
difference
after
is
that
Breaking Bad was being amazing, and that was just a frustrating cliffhanger.
Yeah.
With Walking Dead, the show was terrible, and if you marathon it, it's terrible for 8 episodes, which means it's terrible for a day of marathoning it. But when you're watching it in real time, that's a year of the show being terrible.
And I was watching it, I think it was like for a while it was on Hulu or whatever, so I was watching it on Hulu. Like, I was behind, but I wasn't that far behind, and like I got like 4 episodes into the farmhouse, and I was just like, scoop.
Yeah.
That's done.
Fair point.
All right. So Zappity Grumble. How many people would you consider a successful tournament? That
depends on your meta.
As long as you have fun.
I would agree. To some extent, I would say that if you have less than 16 people show up to a tournament, in my mind, and admittedly, I'm spoiled by our meta. Like, in other metas, it's different. But in Madison, if we have a tournament that's less than 16 people, people weren't all that interested.
Right.
In Madison. Yeah. And that's true. That is true of... a lot of the Midwest, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I've talked to people that live on, like, the East Coast or the West Coast, and they're like, oh, man, we got, like, 12 people out. It was amazing. But, like, in Madison, like, if we don't get 16, it's not really a successful. That means that, for whatever reason, people didn't like the format, or people were busy, or we picked a bad day.
Right.
So. Yeah, I think as long as everybody has fun and goes for it, I mean, 8 people would probably be the lowest I would consider saying.
Anything less than 8 doesn't really feel like a tournament. Like,
right. It feels like it's just a bring and battle then at that point. But
yeah,
as long as everybody has fun, that's really all that matters to me.
Yeah, I mean, the first event, one of the first things I ever did when I started playing here in Madison was you guys did a longest night event. And like there were like 4 people there, like me and 3 others. I played Brian. Brian destroyed me with a bronze back because Brian's Brian. And then I played some other...
Bronze backs are bronze backs.
And I played some other guy and he kicked my shit in with Kador. And I was like, oh, that was fun. And I went home and I had a good time. And there were like 4 of us there at any given... Because the longest night, the weird thing, like, I don't know if that's something everyone does, but here in Madison, at least, it's kind of like whoever's running the tournament is just there all day. Mm-hmm. Like, pretty much the entire day.
Yeah.
And you just show up when you want to show up, and you play games, and you leave, and it was fun.
Yep. All right, Zabity.
Grumble.
All right, now that Jeremy has been replaced, what's the next catchphrase?
What's my catchphrase? Unplayable trash?
Yeah. Unplayable trash.
Yeah, I think it's still...
Or Valiant 418 on the forum.
Yeah. I think we would still use that.
I feel like it's still a good catchphrase, even if I'm not here.
I almost bought you. I went to the candy store on State Street, and they had bags of dicks, and I almost bought you one. I almost, as a housewarming thing, I'd almost bought you a pound of the bananas from Runtz.
Yeah, they sell just the bananas.
And interestingly enough, that's the only one of the fruits that they sell by itself.
Yeah.
They sell all kinds of candy by the pound,
but only the bananas from Runtz do they have by the pound.
Well, that tells you that they're good.
No, it tells you that they have shitloads of them left over at the factory because they're the worst.
I'm with Andy on this one. I like the bananas.
The bananas are good, and the strawberries are good, too.
Strawberries are delicious. I like all the Runtz, though.
I thought they were cherries.
I'm not really sure.
They had cherries. Shaped
fruit. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. They used to have cherries. Now they're one of the other flavors now. The apples. Whatever they have for the apple now is what the cherry flavor used to be.
Here's a candy anecdote real quick. So Raylan and I went grocery shopping yesterday, and then there was the Easter candy aisle, so we bought a shitload of Easter candy. And so we get home, and I'm like, I want to eat this now, goddammit. So I decide that I'm going to make an Easter basket, and I'm going to put half of the candy in the Easter basket now, and then I'm going to put the other half away, and then come Easter, when we boil our eggs and everything.
Have another basket.
We'll make another basket, because we'll have eaten all this by then.
Yeah.
And so I open a bag, I dump in half of it, and I put the bag, and I didn't open the next bag. I forgot I bought 2 bags of Whopper eggs. So I opened the first bag, dumped in half of it, put it away. Then I opened the second bag, dumped in half of it, and put the other half to the side.
Smooth.
And then really just like, you're an idiot.
She's not wrong.
No.
Our Easter candy anecdote was we went shopping for Katie's Corner, which is supposed to be at least healthy adjacent. And we walked through the Easter aisle, and I was like, oh, that looks... I want that. I want you, and I want to put you in my face.
Yeah.
All right, let's go home and cook something healthy.
Snickers eggs are delicious.
Everything about Easter is delicious.
Yeah.
Which is better, Easter candy or Halloween candy?
Easter candy. All the way.
Yeah.
Like, the thing about Halloween candy is there's not, other than candy corn, there's not really a thing that's a candy you only eat at Halloween. There's
pumpkin treats in that, but
there are other treats, like caramel apples. I wouldn't count as a Halloween candy, but like, those are my favorite though.
but like at Easter, you've got Cadbury eggs, which are just glorified, amazing.
Although, frustratingly enough, they're not made with Cadbury chocolate anymore.
Really?
Because Hershey's makes them now. Hershey's bought it out, and so they're made with Hershey's chocolate, which tastes way different than Cadbury chocolate.
No, that's lame. And then there's all of the various like peanut butter chocolate concoctions, like
somehow in the egg, like it's the perfect combination of chocolate and filling in an egg shape.
If you get it right.
Well, Reese's anything is better than Reese's cups. The eggs, the Christmas trees, the pumpkins, they're always better than
those
the cups.
Those are all delicious.
Because the cups have the scalloped edges, which is just superfluous chocolate that throws off the ratio.
See, I like the, not the really minis, but the little, the
small size, but not the mini.
Yeah.
The ones that are the smallest size that's still wrapped, but it's the cups.
Because I think, because it's more chocolate, and I think that's a better ratio.
And she likes the chocolate better. I am with you that I like the more peanut butter.
When I found out you could buy the peanut butter just in a jar, like every time I go to the store, I have to not buy that and a spoon.
Yeah, I was pretty sure that should just be the front page of This Is Why You're Fat.
Yeah.
So, but like you've got that, you've got Peeps, which are actually really, like I couldn't eat Peeps all year, but when Peeps are out, Peeps are delicious.
Peeps, they could have exactly one season, and it's Easter.
They have new flavors for them, too.
They also have exactly one flavor, and it's marshmallow.
No, they got more. They got some that have actual flavor mixed in with it.
What do you mean actual? Like, it already had actual flavor.
There are flavored marshmallows. Like, you can
buy. No, I know. I understand that as a concept, they exist, but they shouldn't because they're terrible.
She just disagrees with the fact that they exist.
Like, I also know that there are Christmas peeps. By
the
way,
that whole sentence
Halloween
she just said would go back to the her being racist part of the conversation.
She doesn't like peeps?
Yeah.
Sure.
Apples with razor blades are pretty good, and those are Halloween only things.
No, they aren't.
Oh, like, and they also have the rainbow eggs, which are really good.
Or all the jelly beans. Like, jelly beans just everywhere. Oh, I love jelly beans.
I sabotaged the Easter basket. I didn't realize I was doing it at the time, but I don't regret it. Because I dumped in half of the Starburst jelly beans that I got. And then I dumped in half of the Sour Patch Kids jelly beans. And then I shook it all together. And Raylene doesn't like sour candy.
That's
so that's
her
now
loss.
My
that's
candy.
That's your candy. And also amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, Starburst. The first year I bought Starburst jelly beans instead of regular jelly beans at Easter, it was like this revelation. It was like, oh my god, where have you been all my life?
Yeah.
I plan to go to the Hy-Vee early Monday morning and scoop up Easter candy.
After Easter Sunday.
Trick or treating is better than Easter egg hunting.
Yes.
But I'm with you. Easter candy. I like Halloween better than Easter, but Easter candy is superior.
Well, and as an adult, I don't hunt for eggs or trick or treat. I give out candy at Halloween.
But. You may or may not like this, but it's another non-candy corn candy that's specific to Halloween. Is the those peanut butter things that come in the orange and black wrappers?
I don't like those.
They're like
the peanut butter
ones,
taffy.
Yeah, like I used to like them as a kid, and I don't like them anymore. Uh-huh. As a kid, I enjoyed them quite a bit.
Okay,
but like nowadays, like more than anything, the texture, like you bite through and it's all like waxy wax, like it's taffy. Oh man, pocket of peanut butter, like that texture change throws me off.
Yeah.
So, but I used to really enjoy them as a kid. I do remember liking those.
I like saltwater taffy kind of a lot.
Saltwater taffy just by itself is amazing. That's also why they're like saltwater taffy, but not, which is sad.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Zabity.
Denbox said you skipped his question.
No, I'm saving it. I did skip it, but not on purpose. I was just reading down the line and I started saying, I'm like, I'm skipping it. I'm like, oh,
it was just unnotable.
Yeah. What vlog is Jeremy running? What vlog is Jeremy going to start up to follow Katie's? Rum drinking? Ultimate Frisbee? Unplayable trash sorting? Something else?
Those are all good options. I mostly like the drinking one. We could call it Jeremy's liver death.
There's him being terrible at Destiny. Are you still terrible at Destiny?
I have stopped playing Destiny,
okay,
sadly.
That's the best way to stop being terrible at it.
It is. Well, I was really good at Destiny. I was really good at Destiny.
Yeah.
Okay. I think like everyone stopped playing Destiny.
Somebody did recommend on Twitter that I could start First Aid with Valiant 418, and it could immediately follow Cooking with Katie, so that as she injures herself cooking, I could just like fix her up and that would be my show. Several people were very worried.
Or a medical drama.
The way she cuts vegetables really worries people.
I have never cut myself cutting vegetables, by the way.
But ever? She'll cut a
ever.
Bitch.
You just about chopped your finger off cleaning the knife one time.
Yeah, well, that was cleaning the knife.
That wasn't chopping vegetables.
Wasn't chopping vegetables. What I learned is you just don't clean your cooking utensils.
That's fair.
Not what you should have learned. You learned the wrong thing.
All right, Zavity.
Crumble.
So Matthew Julian asks, can we have a good Nathan rant?
I feel like...
I almost just had one because whatever fucker was talking about razor blades and apples.
Yeah.
I am infuriated by the misconception that Halloween candy is or has ever been dangerous. Ever.
I mean, there's like the random cases. It
does
happen.
Guess how many cases there have been of children being poisoned by strangers in Halloween ever in the history of American trick-or-treating fucking ever. Guess how many? Give you a hint. It's none. None fucking ever. None. One kid died of poisoning and his uncle did it. And his uncle poisoned a bunch of the candy and said, oh my goodness, he must have been poisoned by a stranger. That's the only kid that was killed by Halloween candy. There's no random fuckers murdering kids with candy at all. It doesn't happen. It's never happened.
I read the same Cracked article.
It's actually a documentary I watched, but it was also in the Cracked article because it's a thing. Like, it's such a fucking stupid misconception.
What about the razor blade thing?
No, like, okay, it's not like now what's happening is that people are like, kids are doing it themselves to get attention. Like, they'll go home, they'll grab an apple, they'll shove razor blades and go, look, mom, look what happened, just to get the the Munchausen syndrome thing.
Yeah.
But it's not, nobody's sitting at home shoving razor blades and apples and putting cyanide and pixie sticks and handing them out to the trick-or-treaters. It just doesn't fucking happen. And it's bad enough that you get stupid, overly sensitive Christians trying to get rid of Halloween because they think it's Satanist when it's actually a Catholic holiday, you fucking idiots. But you got those people, and then you've got idiots trying to get rid of it because they think children are dying in droves because they're being poisoned and razor bladed to death. And none of that shit's happening. Stop taking Halloween away from me.
I missed this.
Are you sure?
A little bit.
Jeremy, how'd you spend your Halloweens as a kid?
We weren't allowed to trick or treat.
Because it's Satanist? Or yeah. Yeah.
We would turn off all the lights at the house. And yeah, my family is, yeah. My family is one of those families.
Yeah.
Thank you, Katie.
You're welcome. And my family is also Christian, but we were allowed to trick or treat because my mom ain't no fool. She's not buying us candy. We're getting it free.
Zappity?
Grumble.
All right, last one here. Bacon or pie?
Wait, bacon or pie?
Bacon or pie.
You can have bacon pie.
You just have bacon pie. That sounds...
I would, yeah.
Can you imagine?
I would try that.
Like an apple pie, how you have the layers going on the top and that just being all bacon?
I mean, I can imagine many ways that would be amazing, and I'm okay with all of them.
If I had to give up bacon forever or pie forever,
I would be pie.
No. I'd give up bacon.
You're wrong.
I would give up bacon, too.
Bacon's delicious, but you know what? I can eat some sausage. I can live.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can. That's why I was so popular in college.
I could give up pie. Because there's always cake.
Yeah, that's like the thing.
Cake is so much worse than pie.
Okay, that's not true, but cake is a lot different than pie.
It is very different.
Two different, do tarts count as pie?
If you had to give up cake or pie, you'd give up pie over cake?
Katie really likes frosting, and there's no frosting on pie.
It depends on the pie.
No.
The frosting is generally whipped stuff.
Can I have a tart? Because if I can have a tart, then what's I don't a tart? Need a pie.
It's... Can you have a calzone?
It's a pie.
Is a calzone a pie?
That's a good question. I feel like this is important information. Yeah.
According to Parks and Recreation, a calzone's a pie.
Yeah. It's a good episode, dude.
It is. I was just saying he's an underappreciated character. I doubt anybody says he's their favorite character on Parks and Recreation. But he's a great character.
Who?
The one guy.
Jerry?
Not, Jerry's amazing. The husband. Ben Wyatt.
I love Ben.
Yeah. Ben's amazing. I was thinking, Ben Wyatt's fucking amazing. But everyone's like, I love Ron Swanson. I love Amy.
I love Andy.
But Ben's us. We're all Ben at heart.
I am Ben at heart. Huge crush on Ben.
Yeah, when he gets knighted.
he's an accountant. He's super good at what he does. I don't know how you can't find that hot and sexy.
Zappity?
Oh my god, Sam is so wrong. He says cake is greater than pie.
I think you might be right because of frosting. Because of cream, frosting. Cheese, frosting.
Frosting is the worst part of cake because there's always too much of it.
No, wrong.
There's never enough.
Take some off. You can't add some. That's why you put more on than somebody might want.
Or so, buttercream frosting?
The lighter whipped topping on pie is better than the heavy shit on cake.
False.
Have you had cream cheese frosting?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm not saying I don't like frosting, but it's this 50-pound slab of shit on top of a cake versus the nice, delicious whipped thing sitting on top of a delicious pie.
No, you're wrong.
I'm not going to sit there and eat spoonfuls of whipped cream. I'm going to eat spoonfuls of frosting.
Are you not going to eat spoonfuls of whipped cream? Will you not open up a case of Cool Whip and just eat that fucker?
She actually would rather do that with frosting. I would rather do it with frosting.
So we should do this as an experiment on your show. We should bake a pie,
apple pie,
and put frosting on it.
Pumpkin pie.
No,
it would be gross.
No, that'd be terrible.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No. I'd rather do bacon on a pie than frosting.
Cake's bacon fine. Bacon on a pie would be delicious. And frosting's good, but there's so many pies.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
There's so many kinds of cakes. I think you're just thinking of the generic white cake with crappy frosting. Yeah, you think
dry, crappy cake also? Because there's good cake.
You can have some cake. Don't get me wrong, but you're going to give up key lime pie. You're going to give up pumpkin, pecan, apple and cherry, all those fruit pies. You're going to give up all that shit for cake?
Yep.
Okay, so we had a cupcake contest at work. There was lemon and blueberry cupcakes. There was bacon cupcakes. There was Snickers cupcakes. There was raspberry tart cupcakes. They were all delicious.
That's fine.
But you're like, there's only one kind of cake.
Yeah, that's cake with shit in it. And you can put different shit into it, just like there's different fruit pies.
Hold on. I'm not even going to lie. If I were to give up pies, it would be harder for me to give up, chicken pot pie than it would be to give up, dessert pies.
Chicken pot pie is delicious.
Chicken pot pie is amazing.
So, pies, what we could do is you can mix them all up and you just call it a cobbler.
Also, one second. No, it's not Denbach. Pumpkin is not a goddamn vegetable. It's a fruit. The seeds are inside of it. Dickhole.
What about strawberries?
Yeah.
Seeds are outside.
They're a berry. Yeah. Berries are a subsect. They're different.
How are they different? Are they a fruit or a vegetable?
They are. It's because they are like the genitals of a plant, as opposed to being the. It. I don't want to go too botanologically into it.
Why not? I really different. Want to know. I'm very interested in the subject specifically from you.
All right, I
will. No help from your phone. If you're going to get angry at something, I want you to understand the entire thing from top to bottom.
Berries are to fruit as monotremes are to mammals. They are technically within it, but they disobey one of the key rules.
What's a monotreme?
Platypi and echidnas. They're the egg-laying mammals.
Egg-laying mammals,
yeah. No,
so they're technically – one of the cardinal rules of mammals is that they give live birth. Yep. That is a thing that makes you a mammal.
You can't include things from Australia.
Okay, well, now you're just putting in different rules. I thought I had a good analogy going here, where berries are the monotreme of the fruit kingdom, where they're technically a fruit, but they disobey one of the cardinal rules.
I have to give him a little bit of a point. That's a pretty good analogy.
But I know, but...
You're not happy about
if
it.
If it's from Australia, it's just going to be abnormal anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
And there are berries
and probably going to want to kill you.
Katie's just upset that she poked the bear, and the bear just, like, responded nicely.
Oh, my God. People are asking about bananas, tomatoes, and olives.
Bananas, interestingly enough, clone themselves.
Really?
They don't have sex. They just make bananas. That's why every once in a while the entire species, like an entire species of banana, will just fucking die because they don't breed. They if there's something that will kill a banana, the whole species dies. So like the bananas we have now, the Cavendish, are different than the bananas that every American ate in like the 30s because that banana doesn't exist anymore. It just died, just gone.
Interesting.
Anywho,
what are we talking about? Pie. Pie is so much better than bacon. Even if we're not doing the cake pie thing, I would give up bacon before pie.
You guys may have convinced me on the bacon pie thing, but the cake pie thing, cake
is better.
The
problem that I have with bacon is that it gives me indigestion.
Yeah, you do have trouble with bacon. Like, you burp it up all day.
Yeah.
Like, you're like bacon intolerant.
But it's. Yeah.
It's bacon
intolerant. She is like bacon intolerant.
Like, I can eat any other part of a pig, no problem, but bacon gives me really bad indigestion.
I think you just have trouble with things that are really greasy.
I do love bacon, but.
Because ribs wreck you too.
Ribs do wreck me, man.
Like things that are very fatty, high in fat content, I think you have trouble with.
That could be a gallbladder issue.
Could be.
My mom has gallbladder issues.
That was one of the things I, when I was on a steady diet of glass nickel pizza, my stomach.
Also a fruit.
Yeah, which is also a fruit, yes. Just destroyed me, and I thought I had gallstones.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very painful. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't take a deep breath in. Check it out.
No, when I have a gallbladder attack, I'll know. I won't be able to move.
Well, yeah, it's yeah.
The pain is real.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Are we out of? Is that the hole?
That's it.
That's it. That's all I got.
Yep. So, quick recommendations.
Yep.
Closing in on 2 hours.
Oh, man. Holy Katie, shit. It's all your fault.
Probably. I stopped coming.
Pie is so much
just that you have to make. No, you're wrong. Katie, make your recommendation.
I'm going to actually recommend Murder, She Wrote. It came up yesterday, and I remember what a great show that was. Also, Katie Sackhoff.
Guest starring everybody ever.
Yeah. Guest starring every actor of all time. Anyway. Wasn't there like a run of episodes that had Dick Van Dyke on there, which is funny because like Dick Van Dyke's show was on at the same time?
Diagnosis Murder, maybe you're thinking of?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking
maybe,
of.
Or maybe they had a crossover and you're not insane.
I think they may have had a crossover.
Diagnosis Murder was a thing.
Yeah, but I thought maybe they had a crossover, but it's been a long time since I watched.
Dick Van Dyke's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Also true. I had a recommendation, son of a bitch.
Good job.
Oh, I'm going to recommend viticulture. I actually really enjoy viticulture. And like
Fruit?
Probably.
Yeah, because it's grapes.
Yep. It's grapes, so it's a fruit. But yeah, it was really fun. I enjoyed it. I think that...
Jeremy's a fruit. His seeds are on the inside.
in a rare stroke of brilliance, captain was correct. And when you're playing viticulture, you should also drink wine. And that was not an experience I've had yet, but it's something I look forward to having.
So that means I cannot play that game.
Do you not like wine?
I don't know what it is about wine. I can't
drink
it.
It just
wrecks you? No, it doesn't wreck me. I don't like the taste of it. It's really kind of brittle.
There are about 100 different wines. I have a feeling that there's got to be one you like.
Because
it's kind of like beer. You know,
challenge accepted.
There's IPAs, and then there's ales, and then there's thises and thats, and then thoses, and wines that same
and
way.
There are like three or four that are like what everyone says you classically, and they're the ones that are easy to get a restaurant with.
And
those are not the best ones.
Okay.
So if those are all you've had, then you may just not have had the good ones.
Maybe. It's alcohol. I'll be willing to give it a shot.
Challenge accepted.
But generally, most of the wines I've gotten, I have not liked.
Do you like champagne?
No.
I don't like champagne. Not really
that some people either. Don't, but like that's a very different thing than wine, but also technically a wine.
It's,
so.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's just either too bitter or just...
Champagne hits a lot of people that way, yeah. But I like champagne.
There are a lot of really sweet wines.
Mm,
yeah, you have to get to know them. They're really sweet.
I noticed that. Like drinking is... I like sweet drinks a lot.
I will find you a sweet wine.
All right. We'll try it out.
And it will not be Boone's Farm.
Hey, come on now. Don't badmouth Boone's Farm.
I've drinking some Boone's Farm in my day.
Wine coolers, baby.
That's good stuff.
Well, I can drink wine coolers, though, yeah. But that's not that's wine.
It's basically the same thing. It's just really cheap wine that's carbonated. Not even always carbonated, I guess. But anyway, viticulture, very fun game. I highly recommend it.
I already recommended it last week, and I'm recommending it again. Everybody should go and play New and Tasty. Because it's an awesome game.
Noon Tasty?
New and Tasty.
Oddworld. New and Tasty. It's the re-release of the Oddworld games.
Okay.
Yep. It is beautiful. It's beautiful to look at, and it retains all the same gameplay that you had back then. Okay. So good. Good. Very good.
Yeah.
Nathan?
Did I ever recommend the thing that I was just saying he should play? The
Grim Fandango?
Grim Fandango.
I think you may have, but I don't keep up with
that. I'll do it again. Anymore. It's out. Why aren't you playing Grim Fandango? Oh, you know what came out finally? And I love the first one. I'll be honest here. I haven't played the second one, but I goddamn love the first one. And I recommended the first one, and the sequel's out now, so this is more of a public service than a recommendation, is the sequel to my Hotline Miami finally came out.
Oh, I've heard rumors about the second one not being very good.
Hotline Miami.
Ah, yep.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, the first one really kind of takes it tongue-in-cheek, and the second one really kind of adds a little bit more to...
First one is not tongue-in-cheek in the slightest at all. First one is really straight-faced, brutal, no humor about it.
That's what I mean, is that they tongue-in-cheek, as in it, that's just what it's all about.
Yeah.
The second one, they try to add a lot more stories with different characters. It doesn't seem... But... Yes, it
is. There is a lot of plot in the first one, but it's all retroactive because it's... What's happening? Katie doesn't care. the secret ending, if you unlock all the puzzles and everything, and you unlock the secret ending, there's an extra chapter that retroactively explains all the plot that was happening. So when you're playing through it the first time, you can just skip all the scenes and not give a shit about the plot, and then at the end, hooray. But so I can see that. And so if the plot's more actually integrated during the story, and it's not something that you necessarily give a shit about the plot, because all it is, you know, Gauntlet on crack.
Correct. Correct.
But if you like Gauntlet, but wish that there was blood everywhere and you were braining people and it was super violent.
Then you will like that game.
Yeah. No, I love the first game, and the sequel's out now. So there you go. So that and Grim Fandango.
All right.
All right.
And in answer to Denbach, Moscato is one of the things I'll definitely make Andy try. It's Katie's favorite wine. So.
What's the toilet wine they make in prison?
Toilet wine?
No, it has a name.
Does it?
Yeah, I'll Google it later. It doesn't matter.
Fair enough.
I'm not drinking it.
Valid counterpoint.
I'm not going to drink toilet wine either, but... All right. Well, thank you for listening to episode 109.
Yay.
What's that look for?
We just started talking about toilet wine.
Yeah, Katie got all excited. Thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye.